morning, everyone. It is Thursday, January 4th. It's 9 a.m. at the Board of County Commissioners Administrative Workshop. And we've got a pretty lengthy thing this morning. But one of the things I do want to, if it's okay with the board, we have District Attorney Ryan Mulkins, and he's here. So I think we can pull you up first.
May I?
Yeah, if you come up, please. All commissioners are here. Commissioner Hare, Commissioner Morgan, and Commissioner DeYoung are all present.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm here to ask permission for the county to continue a grant, the Victims of Crime Act grant that the office has been getting, I think, for over 30 years. It would bring in, over the next 2 years, about over $280,000 into the office. The money would be spent on direct victim services, which means that we would spend all the money on the personnel and office supplies running the victims assistance section of my office. And the Oregon Constitution requires that my office provide certain services to victims. Like, we have to notify them of all of the court dates in their cases, which are numerous. We have to collect documentation to substantiate their restitution claims. So we've got people in the office, for example, if someone has a car stolen, then our victim services office will coordinate getting all of the documents from their insurance company so that we can then seek restitution and compensation for them in the victim's case. So there's a ton of paperwork and legwork that's required. For example, you know, each day the court sends out its arraignment schedule, and we get it in the afternoon, but we don't get the final copy until 11 in the morning, and so we can have cases added on at the last minute. And if those are victims' cases, then the people in my victim services office have to drop everything and make phone calls, send emails, do whatever it takes to get some sort of notification to the victim that their case is going before the judge on that particular day. So they're buzzing around. I mean, just very busy with activity. There's a $43,000 match, but those are monies that my office would already spend on our victim services director, because we're constitutionally mandated to provide these services to crime victims. So we have to spend that money regardless. So it's a great benefit to my office to receive this additional $280,000 plus that we can spend on providing services to crime victims.
Have any questions?
Why is this? This is a routine thing we do, and so there's we wanted this expedited. Where is it? What was the?
Yeah, so it's on a biennium, and the Department of Justice was supposed to get us all of this documentation back
Say
in
no
September.
More.
Yeah,
we're good.
They delayed, and yes, all right, thank you.
We're good. So yeah, we're good, 100%. Let's get it going. Department of Justice is all you have to say.
Yeah.
What a pain.
You answer a lot right there.
We deal with it two or three times. There was the courts thing. We're trying to get all these courtrooms
yes.
done and stuff, and they're just dinking around with, you know, nickel and diamond stuff, and we would have had it done. 2 years ago, we would have had it done.
And
so
yes.
That's just one more example of we get it.
Yes, thank you.
Moving
thank
it right
you.
Along.
This is a two-year grant?
Yeah.
Goes for
yes,
two
sir.
Years.
Okay. Yes, sir. We'll spend it equally over the next 2 years.
Okay. We can
take
the draft early. So
that'd be nice.
Can this go to consent? Is it something that's a renewed thing, or is it considered a new one?
Are you looking for approval today?
That's a good question.
Well, I mean, we would
is
like
a time frame on this, or you guys are just
we're already
the
into the second quarter.
Yeah,
I project.
We're
yeah.
that.
So if, whenever you can. As soon as you can do it, we'll be grateful, whenever that is.
We'll get it done.
Okay.
I think we can get this done today, and that way we're not part of the Department of Justice wheel. Do you think we can get it done today?
Well, this is a lot of money, and if they've already started it, it's not holding it up. If
it's
there was a deadline that we needed to reach by Friday of getting it in, we would
have an additional position we can't post for until we get it approved, but we already started some new people, and it's not
yep.
a big time right now.
Oh, yeah, I think we can probably do it Wednesday. Okay. Consent, I think, is what it...
That's what I'm wondering, if it would count as consent, then...
Okay. That's it for me. Thank you
Absolutely.
Very much. Thank you.
Thank you. And with that out of the way, let's bring up item number 1A, community development. And this is two parts on this, economic development request. Chamber dues, and also item number 2 is North Valley Industrial Park property appraisal.
Correct. So with the economic development funds, we don't, it's not like the other budgets where we just account for dues and we pay them. Every time there's dues required, we come to the board for approval. So this one is just seeking approval on the Chamber of Commerce dues, which is $3,000 a year. So
we already did last year's. We just did last year's, and now we're doing this year's. Because it feels like we just did. I know we did SBDC's, and
so we did Soretti, we did SBDC.
Soretti.
It's been
Chamber
it
was
not,
a while.
Yeah,
was
believe
it?
Or not, yeah. It's been a long.
Because we did 500 to IV, and we do 500 to IV.
They have not submitted a bill yet.
Feels like we did them.
We just did them.
Yeah, we just did them.
IV.
Mm-hmm. I know I've been doing this a while, but I'm pretty sure with you here, we just did it because it didn't come through Arthur's office.
Did the chamber, you mean?
Uh-huh.
Actually, this came to chamber or to Arthur's office, and he forwarded it.
Yeah, because it always has. IV, I think we just paid IV, so.
I did not get an economic development request on.
Oh. These dues. We'll work into it. We'll look into it.
Are these dues for the calendar year?
These are for the calendar year.
Of 18, right. 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Possibilities. There a possibility that we didn't pay the calendar dues for 2017 until like June or July?
Yes.
Okay, that's why maybe, but it feels like
we'll figure out when.
You know what happened is the chamber had asked for some money for the business retention survey, which was separate.
Yes.
These are the dues. So
okay. Well, we'll figure it out.
Wendy, do you want this to have the commissioner sign it? Where we can get it. Okay, the second thing I have is we talked before about selling the county property in the Illinois Valley Industrial Park, and I gave you a little map of it.
It's, yeah, well, you can't see it though, sorry.
Oh.
Yeah, that doesn't that come up. It gets scanned in a way that it's a black block, so other than the arrow pointing at a black area.
Okay, so we'll try this. I'll just pass this around. So this is a list of all the vacant properties in the North Valley Industrial Park, and I will get you right to the county one. We can just pass that around. So what we have is the county has 9.75 acres, which borders I-5. So it's at the far east end of the industrial park. And right now, it has no road access. It has Techway, which terminates right in front of the Dutch Brothers property. And Dutch Brothers, I heard from them this morning, actually. They're not willing to pursue doing anything with that lot at this time. So if we're going to sell our property, the only way to do it would be to go through San Francisco Way, which the county road, the county maintenance ends before that. But we've had a lot of inquiries for property. Commissioner,
let's explore the Dutch Bros thing. Can we put in that road, even if they're not interested, through Dutch Bros? They're not interested in that?
Seeing the picture here, it cut right through the middle of the property.
No, I know. And
it's been platted, so we might be able to.
Yeah, I think so. I just got off the phone with Rob, who checked with Chuck, who look into the historic element of San Francisco and the creation of the industrial park, mm-hmm. and you can't use San Francisco. It's delineated in there specifically that you can't use San Francisco to access the industrial park. So and we could change that, I'm sure. We could probably figure out it's an agreement with the school district that we may be able to work through. But and it's more ideal because Commissioner Morgan just said Tech Way, if it continues and it doesn't, it serves our property on the other side of the Dutch Bros property. It certainly makes sense to serve the Dutch Bros property that way, right. But it wouldn't make sense necessarily to have a road bifurcating their property. San Francisco makes a lot more sense for that 9.7.
What about North Valley Drive to the south of the property? It borders the bottom half.
That's not there.
Okay.
Let me see. No,
well, I mean, it stops here, but I mean, that could be extended easier than going through the middle of the other properties.
Well, what I'd like to ask the board today is if we can do an appraisal so we know the value of that land as is and if it has road access. Because the road, Rob had given me the bit of $599,000 mm-hmm. to go 500 feet with a cul-de-sac. So my question is, if this is
even with a road, it's only valued at $250, then it doesn't make financial sense for us probably to put the road through. I don't know. But I think we need to start moving on it and get some estimates on what the value of that is. Commissioner DeYoung and I had lunch yesterday with Soretti and somebody who's looking for 10 acres to do a factory, and we have a meeting again next week with a different company looking for 10 acres. And I actually went out there 2 weeks ago, or December 26th, and walked to the property with somebody else that wants that property. So there's demand. These are good jobs. We're losing them. I think we need to move forward and say, what is the value of that land? So we can then determine, is
it worth just the value. It's what are the hurdles to actually make it usable?
Right.
Because, you could get road infrastructure out there, but there's no sewer. There's no water right now to that property.
Right.
And that's one thing. If you get road access off of San Francisco, but the water infrastructure is at Tech Way, you still got to put that infrastructure, water and sewer. We've already got that. That exists. But it's like you're going to have to put in the infrastructure. You can't build over it, so you might as well put a road there.
Well, and I've had a different conversation with Dutch Bros about that property and possibilities.
Which property? Their property or our property?
And one question I also have is with us looking at just the potential urban renewal at the fairgrounds area, and we've mentioned potentially moving Public Works at some point, I'm wondering if this is an appropriate property for Public Works to move.
For me, I don't like, it's the same reason I would want to move Public Works from its current location. It's prime real estate for other things. I'd like to put, Rob's not in the room, I'd like to put Public Works where nobody else wants to be. You know what I mean? You can force them to be there, whereas, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's, I don't want to encumber,
20 acres of desert.
I don't want to encumber prime development right on I-5 to showcase our Public Works.
Well,
exactly.
There's some value being right next door to Dutch Brothers, isn't there? I mean, they're 10 and they're 9.8 and we're 9...
Yeah, they're 9.8, we're 9.75.
9.75, so that gives you almost 20 acres if somebody were to be looking, and all of a sudden now those two could, possibility of buying both.
Well, and that's what, I had been talking with Mike Dennis from Dutch Bros, and we were, I thought, making good progress. Mike got a hold of me yesterday and said that there's now somebody new, Mike got a different position. So now I'm dealing with somebody else who said they're not willing to really even look at it till spring. But, again, I think we need to at least find out what that value is with different scenarios. If Tech Way goes through, what is it going to be worth? Because we're losing jobs. I mean, and keep in mind that industrial property pays more in taxes than residential and demands less in services. So it's a win-win for the county tax base as well. So we just need to get moving on it.
Yeah, it's not on the tax roll right now. What I think also, Business Oregon has talked about shovel-ready properties. Mm-hmm. What are those other potential industrial sites, the old mill sites that are scattered around Josephine County that are sometimes in excess of 10 acres and such? I can think of the one in Selma, and it's not exactly prime, but it's on 199, a major thoroughfare. Yeah. It's 25 minutes from I-5. It's not
Kirby.
That far.
Is the Kirby mill site available?
Yeah, that's 106 acres. It's massive, and it has potential for water infrastructure from the city of Cave Junction. No sewer hookup, but water hookup. So I think looking at some of those other ones, it doesn't just have to be the 9 acres that we own.
Right.
So
The company we talked to that Soretti brought yesterday, they were very interested in both, of course, the city was there championing in
Spalding,
and then Julie was there championing, and I think our property out there fit more their style than the Spalding. They were both close proximity to an on-off ramp off the I-5. They have their own trucking company that they truck their stuff, they don't...
But let's be realistic. We're meeting with a contractor on the North Valley sewer system. If that's integral for somebody to move in there, we're 2 years on a good day without having contracted for somebody to project manage that from sewer system. And as much as I want to have an evaluation of it, it's not going to tell me much without, you know, telling me if you had sewer, it would be worth this. If you had water,
yeah,
it would be worth this. If you had road access, it would
be worth
this.
Right now, if you appraise it, they're going to appraise it as is.
We're
going
to do all of those things regardless if it pencils. It's just, it's part of the master plan of developing the industrial park, and we would do it whether we own that 9.75 acres or not. I can see your desire to meet mm-hmm. the needs of people coming here and looking for real estate to perform, you know, shovel-ready job opportunities. That is not even close to being potentially shovel-ready with these hurdles of water, sewer, and road access. And but I would like to make progress on it, saying what are those things and what are we doing to reduce those
things.
Let's
jump over those hurdles.
There's also the wetlands element. And why can't we confine ourselves trying to work with DLCD, EPA, DEQ on mitigating that wetland encumbrance by offsetting it somewhere else? You know, it's not that big of a deal. And working with soil and water conservation, doing restoration habitat, we could do that. So the business who comes in says, I don't have 8.75 acres or 8 acres. I have 9.75 acres. I can fill in over that wetland area or whatever.
Yeah, so a couple things. So we do, when we hear about these prospective businesses, we do say, hey, we have this site out in, you know, Cave Junction and all this stuff. They want to be on I-5.
Yeah.
If you're a factory, you want to be close to I-5.
How do we expand the North Valley Industrial Park to accommodate for, you know, we're almost, there aren't a whole lot of other options. I would much rather spend money on something that kind of gets us ready holistically. I want to get rid of that piece of property too. All of the money and revenue from those property sales goes back into the industrial park. So mm-hmm. So if we sold it for $400 and the road was $400, we just built a road or something
yeah.
like that.
Well, so one thing is there's no sewer out there, but they can put in a private septic until the sewer comes through.
Okay.
So that's not a hurdle to me at all. And for a multi-million-dollar company putting $10,000 in a sewer
yeah, they
for
do.
2 years?
There's companies yeah. out there that have pumping facilities right now.
So. Right. Mm-hmm. So, and
no comment.
And the King of England.
And
I do object, as someone such as yourself says that.
Excuse me? Sir?
That is who I am.
Okay.
And I'm United States President.
Okay.
Sir, this is not a back and forth from the audience, so please sit down. Thank you.
So the other thing is I actually have a... wrote somebody from Embata yesterday, heard back from them this morning too, that we want to talk, because I do want to see what can we do to make Rendata move. If they're not going to be in there, let's try and get it for sale and make that valuable property, even if it means, I know you probably don't want to hear this, even if it means the county taking it over so then we can get the brownfield funds to clean up any contamination out there. It's easier for government to get that than a private sector employee or person. So that's some other stuff I'm exploring, but yeah.
It's a great conversation. I think yeah. we should have it on a regular basis about what are those steps. And if there's a, I'd rather employ a contractor to evaluate those things, work on those mm-hmm. hurdles. That's not in your wheelhouse. That's not your job. But it needs to happen. Somebody needs to outline them. But doing an assessment of the value and spending any kind of money right now without the turnkey opportunity, I don't have any hesitation in doing that. We've done that several times on pieces of property mm-hmm. where we sold it within a year. I can think of the gravel pit that we owned, 11 acres for public works, and you know the Cave Junction building and some others. That one's a little bit, let's address a hurdle or two mm-hmm. and maybe do an evaluation of what it would cost for 25 employees to have a septic system that is wholly maintained and dovetails, you know, work with Civil West and say, what would a ancillary unit that could dovetail with the future development unit, because there are going to be, the one that we're probably going to pick are these ancillary septic units that process 70% of the waste on site and then pump the drain field affluent stuff. So that could totally work.
Yeah,
is that what you're thinking about? Because if that's the case, I'm all in favor of exploring those options?
Well, as you know, last year I was pushing to see if we could get that road through, and I actually do have an appointment scheduled with Rob and his staff for Monday to talk about several things.
Good.
This is one of them. But yes, they could go out there and put the private on-site sewage treatment system. So,
yeah.
I just know we've got a lot of interest, and we're passing up a lot of jobs and a lot of tax base.
I think the key is that we don't have the information to give to them. I think that's where Julie's going, is to make, you know, list what could happen out there. Because this, the two guys yesterday, they were just a good example of what they were going to do. I think it's just, you know, custom fit. They love Southern Oregon because it works out with their business plan. They're a growing company out of Arlington, Texas, and Kingman, Arizona.
Yeah, I was going to say Kingman, yeah.
Yeah, and so, and they're looking at South I-5 here.
I mean,
so
I know what it takes to get the road through. That's $599. I can get an easy estimate on a sewage treatment system. But in order to say, look, we have this property, but you're going to have to put a $600,000 road through, well, what do you want for the property? I can't tell them that. I can say, well, it's valued at $150,000, but what is it really valued at? So, because if putting the road through and to that property and buying that property makes financial sense, many companies are willing to do that. I mean, it's not uncommon to spend $1 million on a piece of property. And with the wetland thing, I did, you know, it doesn't show up as a state-designated wetland, but there are low areas. Whoever buys
it. It makes no sense that there's wetlands out there.
No.
There's barely precipitation, water, a puddle at any time of year.
Well, they did this at the airport with the expansion of the hangar, and they just designated a wetland. It cost lots and lots of extra money to pay for the permits to build on it. And then they had this massive rainfall, and they went out and they took a picture. And everywhere was flooded, but the wetland stood up above it.
Well, this one doesn't show up as a wetland on any of the state wetland maps. I did walk it, though, and my feet got soaked. I mean, there's water coming up around my foot and everything. So, I mean, there's drainage issues on that property is what it is. So to develop it, that's the other thing we have to keep in mind, is somebody's going to have to bring in a lot of fill to fill that in, level it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of work involved in it, which plays into the price, which, you know, for me to even begin talking to somebody about any of this, I have to know
an industrial company is probably going to be on a slab, and they have preparation. They take that in stride that they're going to put down 18 inches of shale for binder and create their base.
It's no big deal. This anywhere. Is built on the spring every day.
I just think that we need to have answers for them, more answers than we have right now. When somebody, for instance, the companies, and you went out there, did they go to
they did North yesterday. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I think the more information we have for them has the appearance that we're more, you know, we get the, yes, this is road, and it's in queue, not in queue, and this is what it costs.
Yep.
I think the more information we can give to them so they can crunch the numbers, that's where I think I would like to go with it.
Yeah, because right now they have the site in Spalding, which has major issues, and then we say, oh, and we have this property out here, but you have to do this, 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 and this.
So let's
go to Central Point.
Let's get back to what are you asking for? Do you want to actually do an appraisal on that?
I do. I want to see what it's worth as is and with that road to the property.
Which road?
Tech Way.
Okay.
Coming off the Tech Way to the property and access.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You okay, mm-hmm. Commissioner? Okay.
So are we also asking what is it going to cost to hook up water? They're going to have water. There's a well on the Dutch Bros property, but I don't know if it's usable.
Yeah, I'll talk to Rob about
they're going to need fire suppression. I think they can use a well for their day-to-day stuff. Most of the places in there do. They don't use city water necessarily for the well. They use it for the fire suppression on demand, which is really helpful fiscally from a standpoint that putting in their own otherwise is really expensive.
Right.
Having those tanks sitting around for 1 million square feet.
Well, that's when and that came up yesterday too. Fire suppression came up as an issue. So
well, that's there's fire hydrants out there. I mean, that's the point of the city water being
right. The city of Spalding is no. I don't think they're any farther ahead on Spalding.
Theirs is what I'm told is you're looking at over $1 million to just get the lift station up to some of these properties.
The whole process is like $3 million. It's not chump change.
So they don't have a leg up any farther than we do on that.
We're actually
okay. So well, let's get
in their SDC. Let's get the road appraisal. Infrastructure. Nothing. It's a money pit.
Right. We don't have SDCs, which is big selling point.
I think if there's some interest in from the board as to what questions to ask and how far this appraisal should go, of how do you want it to include if it had water and sewer and all that other stuff to it, or just leave that off of it and just take it to the road. We'll provide access, road access to off of Tech Way as part of the value, or would the appraiser go far enough to say, but if you did this, it would be worth that. If you did that, it would be that.
That's what I want them to do.
Okay, all right.
And then since we don't have a property manager right now, who do I work with on that?
I don't know.
Wally is, when I asked that question, he said Wally.
Yeah, but that's for like renewing leases and stuff like that. It's not for new projects. There's nobody in there. We have to find somebody. We've used other people in the past, and we can get you a list of those people that we've used.
Okay, I was going to say, are you okay with me asking Mike who he usually uses?
Sure, mm-hmm.
And then just taking it on myself?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. That would be great.
We need to sit down on a regular basis about the industrial park and moving it forward, but we're working on a project manager for that. I'm leaning towards the other, not the person that we interviewed with the group. I'm leaning towards the person who understands what it means to project manage for us.
Yeah.
Civil West is a great subcontractor who can probably do all the work, probably 90% of the work. I need that 10% person to lead the program. So that's
understood.
Any other questions for Ms. Belcher?
No.
Commissioner Morgan?
Okay. Thank you very
much.
Thank
you, Julie.
We would like to, I guess while you're here, we need to work on the variance process. So getting kind of like a, my understanding is that the ordinance is in limbo right now. That 90 days is somewhat on a stay. I don't understand how it couldn't be, because you don't know what you're going to be. If you were to collect signatures, say, for instance, and you wanted to refer it, that's one of the points of the 90 days, you could file something in the clerks based on the ordinance we have drafted and approved in a second reading. And when LUBA remands it, we change it, they got to go back out and collect on what is actually having gone through that process. Mm-hmm. So in my opinion, that 90 days is stayed. There's nothing that people could be working on right now until LUBA has a decision.
Well, Wally said that it's not at the current. So
I disagree completely, and I'm
staying out of that part.
Yeah.
Of it. But I do want to get a workshop scheduled as soon as possible, because we do get a lot of questions on that variance process.
Okay. Let's.
And at the same workshop, I'd like to talk about the housing.
Yeah.
So
that'd be perfect.
I'll check my schedule and see if I can get something scheduled for next week.
Okay.
If that's okay.
Sounds good.
Great.
Thank you.
Next up, item number 2, department updates, and juvenile A and B, juvenile and fairgrounds are both excused. Juvenile is getting ready for their open house, so they're plenty busy over there.
Not just the open house, the following week is the opening.
They have to be open, so they're well ahead of their schedule.
That's really important that we have an update prior to it happening. I did a walkthrough yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Over juvenile?
Yeah, have you guys done that?
No,
everything's waiting on facilities, and their opening date is scheduled for the 16th, barring any facility holdups.
So there were a couple of issues when I did a walkthrough from a facility standpoint that I think one of them is just the it's a small issue, but it'll be what makes it to a letter to the editor and somebody who walked through. It's the size of some of the flat screens over there are just intense, 55-inch. In some of the rooms that are smaller than this, you know, and I just, it raises questions in my mind of how some of the decisions were made in juvenile. Everything else seems to be really coming along really, really well. I have to commend facilities for taking on this lift with limited staff and not being able to find qualified contractors every time to do everything. When they do come in, they do a thorough job, but they also leave extra work for somebody else to come follow up with, and there isn't any follow-up by the contractors. So that's been an extra burden on facilities that's put them behind the eight ball on some of this to get it done in the fashion that it has. But your liaison, I that's my position, that you reach out and just say, hold off putting them up until after the open house or whatever. But that stood out to me, that those are
bigger
than they need to be.
I don't know the price of flat screens.
I got a 55-inch one for...
It's not about what
for $300, price. So it is about the price.
Heaps doesn't know when to stand up. Heaps, that's who I am. I'm Heaps. I'm Jesse Curtis Heaps.
Sir, could you step outside, please? This is not an open meeting for you to discuss back and forth.
No one stand up. I said my name.
You can stand there. Just zip it up, okay? Please, please. That's
keep my mouth shut. I mean, you're talking about me like I'm not here.
Number two, and you're working on number three.
And here.
See you. So, that's where I'm at on that. It's not
strike two. Don't say another word.
It just looks like, you know, something.
Well, there's two sides of the building. One is a residential youth program, which is going to be housing folks that... It's not the detention side, it's the shelter side of sorts, which is going to be housing people that aren't appropriate for foster care but need foster care.
100% familiar with the program. I'm telling you what it looks like.
Perception.
There's no argument otherwise.
Perception.
Well,
I'm not interested in, I'm just telling you what it looks like.
I hear you. And so, I can talk to them and express that you've expressed concern. And
I don't like the way it looks.
There.
Like we've got all this money and we're throwing it at big flat screens on in three different rooms. So,
are they for training? Are there training rooms or?
One's in the detention side. One's in the housing side. I want them to have. I feel like TVs is reasonable. It's larger than that one significantly.
People
so
are supposed to do it.
That's just what I'm saying.
Not to my children.
Could you call somebody
you don't need
and
to
have
call anybody
escorted?
No one needs to escort me. My concern, other people aren't supposed to be around my children, taking care of my children. I am English royalty, and no one's supposed to be shooing me away or telling me to leave, that I have to leave at all.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
And no one's supposed to be blocking doors, in order for me not being able to come in and be able to see them either. My concerns. I have many concerns. One is that people shouldn't.
This is not the place to voice your concern, sir. It's time for you to go.
Really, not time for me.
It is time for you to go. Yeah.
Me to go.
Thank you.
Time for me to start using my law books like I'm supposed to be using as a judge. And also being heard when I'm supposed to be heard.
Those are my thoughts.
In the King of England. Okay, let's get back to me. We probably, I can see where you're saying that, you know, that probably.
It is what it is. So I just want to voice my concern.
Yeah.
Okay. I will speak to Jim today.
Let's find out from Jim.
I have a meeting with him at noon.
Do you? Okay. There's a possibility that 55-inch and 36-inch are the same price.
I'm sure they are.
You're right.
I'm sure they are. There's nothing... It's not an element of justification or price or blah, blah, blah. It's a perception, and that's all I'm saying. Is it?
Well, they were excused today because they are getting ready for their open house over there, and that's going to be good. Fairgrounds excuse. Peggy was in yesterday. We had a short meeting, and she just didn't look well at all. And so I think she's excused for today. She really didn't look good. So we'll put her. We'll get her scheduled. Human resources up next. JJ. Item 2C.
I had to make it short for you all. One pager, just going to talk about what we've been doing and what's coming up.
Okay,
so the last...
Do we have your schedule there that you're going to work off of? Is that in with our stuff today? Or are you going to hand that out?
This was for later in the agenda.
Okay, all right.
So this is just the department update.
Ryan, I think you can close the door.
So really in the last three, 4 months.
Just make sure.
The number one thing that my office has been dealing with is recruitment. I mean, it's been the, you know, 1A and 1C and B and D and everything else. So in the last 4 months, we've hired 51 employees. We processed over 1,400 applications. That's more than the entire calendar year 2016 by about 50%. So that's, you know, we've been swimming in recruitment the last last few months. It's especially challenging because my main recruiting person left because he was recruited away. What a jerk. we've since replaced him with Michelle, who's doing a great job.
She is, actually. And I found it interesting that last week it was Carla and Michelle alone in the office, and I'm like, it worked.
Yep.
They stepped up. They're doing it.
They're doing a great job. So that's been our number one focus the last few months, a ton of work to get that done. Next is wage study. We'll deal with that a little greater detail. What I wanted to really say about this is, you know, we're finalizing the department manager, director salary today, hopefully. But also my plan in the next few months is to look at the rest of the non-union groups. There's, you know, just questions as where are the rest of those folks in comparison to our comps, and my intention is to do an analysis on that and have that rolled into the upcoming budget so that we can, you know, any recommendations will be put into next year's budget. I thought that was a better time frame to address those potential concerns. Legislative update. There's a pretty big change in Oregon law that luckily doesn't affect us too much, but it's called the Oregon Equal Pay Act. And basically that law states that you can't pay two people differently that are in different classes that have the same job. You have to pay them the same, unless there's specific criteria that allow you to pay them differently. And the criteria is, you know, maybe they've been around longer and you have a scale system, or this person has higher education and therefore you can justify paying them more, or you pay based upon set criteria of productivity and this person has higher productivity so you can pay them more. So unless you have specified and detailed criteria laid out, you have to pay people the same. Now, we're a government agency. All of our positions are based on a comp analysis based on position, not on person. So that, for the most part, protects us. Now, we, as is the case with most public sector employees and unionized employees, we have structured pay scales. And most people are not paid on performance. They're paid on position and, frankly, how long they've been there. And there's advantages and disadvantages of that, but that's the structure that we use. The big reason that government agencies use that is in the private sector you get a certain percentage of your salary is based on a bonus based on performance. And like I said, when I worked in the private sector, our chief executives, about 50% of their salary can be earned again in a bonus. And that was, you know, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 check that they'd get at the end of the year if they were a successful manager. And that you know, is standard within the private sector. But in the public sector, people see that and go, what are you doing? That's you know, you're raft corruption, and that's what they say. Even if it's a structured pay scale that mirrors what the private sector does, the perception of it isn't understood by the public, and it's that's really the primary reason we don't structure our pay that way. We have a little bit of wiggle room. We have a bonus into our policy that's fairly nominal, but vast majority is of people's pay is structured, and frankly, that's a good thing as it relates to the Equal Employment Pay Act, because it protects us from the effects of that law. So there's a couple of healthcare things that are relevant as well. So the legislature mandated that OEB and PEB, so we are part of OEB, PEB is the Public Employee Benefit Board, that they look at the advantages of joining those two boards, both entirely one pool or even maybe parts of the administrative function are joined. And so both the PEB board and the OEB board have formed a subcommittee and have been working on an analysis of what the advantages and disadvantages of joining those committees are going to be. And so that is going to be presented to the legislature next month. So they've been working on it for about 6 months. It's still unclear what the effect will be on our health care and what our rates or anything are going to be, because it's all up in the air. But that's a change that's in the works. The other thing that's a big impact, so the U.S. Senate and House are working on tax reform. Part of that tax reform is they have repealed the individual mandate. And what that means is that it's going to create instability in the private market. So we're in the group market, but that's going to create instability in the private market and jack up rates in the private market. How that affects us is we have a tiered rate structure for our insurance. So if you are covering an individual person, here's the rate. If you're covering family, here's the rates, different rates. And the cost of doing that is our family coverage is very expensive. Mm-hmm. And frankly, it's more expensive than you'll find in other agencies. Personally, I didn't have a problem with that because we give a set dollar amount. And if you want to get family coverage, you can go to the individual market and get it cheaper. And that was the case really up until this next year. It's going to be more expensive to go into the individual market than even get our very expensive family coverage.
Is that a prediction or is that a fact?
That is a fact as of, I just looked at the rates in the market as of January, okay. Which is the open enrollment period. Right now, They are about the same. So okay. If I went and got family coverage, our cheapest plan is about the same as a lesser quality plan in the open market as of January.
And I know FAPO's union is not tiered.
No.
They had opted to keep it the same mm-hmm. so that it didn't punish people with families or individuals. Mm-hmm. Everybody pays the same rate. Is there any benefit to looking at that for the other services?
The downside of having a composite rate structure is another ACA rule is that if your plan costs more than a certain amount, whatever you pay above that amount, you have to pay a tax on, and that's called the Cadillac tax. And that actually doesn't go into effect till 2020. But statewide, I just looked at an assessment this last week when I was at my OEB meeting, it's going to cost government agencies about $20 million a year, just that tax, based on the current market rates for their insurance. So if you have a tiered rate structure, you drastically limit that liability. And so that's the advantage of a tiered rate structure. So my recommendation in next plan year is to structure our contributions similar to how we structure AFSCME. So they have a tiered rate, which protects you from the Cadillac tax, but they have a tiered contribution amount as well, so that you can give a little bit more to families, a little bit less to singles, and that you get a little bit of both worlds in that structure. So there's, you know, it'll take some bargaining, some things to make that happen for our union groups. But I think that's the structure we should move to next year to make us more competitive in our family coverage and protect us from the increased individual market that's going to happen as a result of tax reform.
Sounds good.
So, fairly complex, but that's, you know. And then
it is what it is.
Yeah.
I have a cup that says that.
Yeah.
Well, we do have some wiggle room in there.
Yeah.
And I think that we should explore that, the individual the contributions that we make and the tiers. It benefits the individual mm-hmm. more than it does. It penalizes the family and it benefits the individual. And there's a balance to that, to where you know it's just compensation of if you look at the total compensation of people, but you know within reason. So I appreciate you looking into that.
I think we could structure it to get the best of both worlds. It'll take a little less from families, a little more or a little less to individuals, a little more to families, but they still get good coverage for both. Because I think next year we're going to be at a competitive disadvantage with our current structure, even though it's been to our benefit the last couple of years.
Keep an eye on that.
The last thing is collective bargaining. So both SEIU, which is our road workers and mechanics in public works, and then AFSCME, which is pervasive throughout almost every department, both their contracts are expiring this year as of the end of June. So we'll be entering bargaining with both of those unions in the next couple of months. So that'll be a pretty sizable project.
So you'll have an executive session addressing those before mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And that's it for my
Any update. Other questions for JJ?
We had talked to you and I about exploring alternatives to some of the larger counties that have got clinical elements mm-hmm. that are just for their employees. And I'm sure that there was some sort of not just a competitive benefit, but there's a fiscal benefit to that. I know that we're not in the Deschutes or Jackson County size. They're 800 and some employees, and I'm sure Deschutes is very similar. But it would make sense if we were partnering with the school district or something. You've looked into it, but I don't. Your preliminary was is it didn't really pencil, and it may not.
The challenge that we have is so there's a cost to doing that, and that cost is offset by what you pay in your health benefits. And so you wrap it into your health benefits. And usually the places that do that are at least partially self-insured when it comes to the health mm-hmm. benefits. And so you're offsetting that cost by funneling people to your own clinic. And that structure isn't what we use for our health benefits.
Right. So we can't do a hodgepodge.
That being said...
Are you saying something like similar to like the Kaiser model or the...
Not really.
I mean that you kind of have a network that you're... not. It's not a network, but what is that called? I don't remember what that type
Jackson
of insurance
County
was.
Jackson County employees have like a primary health clinic that they can go to first. It's for them. They go any day, any time.
Is it only for them?
Yes.
Only for them.
Mm-hmm. Only for them.
And the thoughts are your low-level care, you could administer it more cheaply than what you would go if you went to the private market.
It's almost like paying for ConMed, but just for
employees
on an individual basis. To do little stuff,
my university had a health center on,
yeah.
and staff, our students were all welcome to use it.
And it's practically free mm-hmm. relative to what we spend a month in health insurance is $350,000. I mean,
yeah.
it's not chump change. And what can you do thinking creatively about,
yeah.
okay, if we bring that down by like a little bit,
sure.
doing this in partnership with District 7 or something.
And actually give probably a better product.
It would. I mean, how convenient would that be for everybody to just be able to go to like really good quality, one-stop, initial.
If you did something like that, and I know it's a big issue out at Asante, it's a big issue at hospitals all over the place, is the fact that everybody just decides they're not going to go to the doctor, they can't get in and see the doctor, so they go to emergency room. Is there somewhere along the line that maybe you could get a hold of Asante and say, how does this affect you, and is it something you might want to partner with? Or All Care, for instance. I don't know if there's somebody out there. Who benefits from having a clinic for, say, like you say, school district employees and county employees, maybe get the city to get in on it.
Right.
It's hard to say. And you could take all of those and say, now we have X number of employees. Now we are approaching what Jackson County is, and it might be worthwhile for everybody to look into it. And with Asante saying, our waiting room is full of people just with regular old...
I think they are, but they're probably the under or uninsured. I don't know that our employees are utilizing it to the same degree. I'm sure there's a few that opt to go in there, let it get bad, but they've got an alternative of getting a primary care physician. I mean, that's really tough. It's taken me 7 years. I still don't have one, but, most people are responsible, and they do. They've got health care.
You wouldn't need a primary. I mean, you never get hurt or anything.
No, not at all. Right. Never happens. So it was a thought. I just don't want, just because of our size, to preclude us from taking advantage of what improves healthcare options and reduced costs. I think we always need to be looking at what are those costs that continue to rise every year, and what are the creative solutions that larger institutions are maybe leaning into.
Or they could take advantage of.
They're taking advantage
can.
Of, but we get it in the shorts, and, wait a second, we could do these things too. If we just, it wouldn't look exactly like that. I mean, I was thinking about even having a contract with a specific clinic that says, you serve a lot of people, but you serve us, this group, these 800 people first. It's the mm-hmm. city, the county, and the schools, or whatever. And that makes up the lion's share of your business, but that still affords you. Just a thought,
okay.
Something that we need to kind of keep
that?
On the horizon
yeah.
as an option.
Your other
as things.
Any duties that JJ can look into that? Does that
sure.
sound fair?
Well, I think it's always good to look at something creative and out of the normal to see if there's a way to do it. I when I was in college, I used that health clinic all the time as a student. I mean, it was, but when I
so
had
convenient.
To, absolutely. And then working downtown, I mean, they had Pill Hill in Seattle, and you either had to pick this one or you picked the, I can't remember what their terminology was, but they just had a network of hospitals. You're only allowed to go to those. And,
interesting quote for today. A man too busy to take care of his health is like a mechanic too busy to take care of his own tools. So eventually...
I'm there.
Catches up with you. Anyway, good conversation.
Are we doing the director conversation later or as well? So you're coming back in a few minutes?
He's got nothing better to do than what
okay.
Let's just, are we done with the quarterly update? Any more questions for JJ on that?
No, thank you.
Right. Thank you, JJ. You're all set to go there. And now we move on to Let's see. Finance.
Facilities.
Let's do
facilities. Excuse me. I jumped one.
Ryan's like, no problem. I'm close to the door.
We'll turn the
heat seat around for you.
Yeah, I apologize. I'm not real prepared, so I just thought I'd kind of open it up for
Q&A. I see you taking some notes there for us.
Yeah, that's for me to take notes. So anything that comes
I did have someone from the courts compliment the start of the project as far as the landscaping, and they're excited to think of what it will look like once done, and made me curious as far as a possibility of contractors for the ramp at some point. And
yeah.
All that kind of stuff. But I know you also have a couple other very big projects. Yes. Jail, juvenile.
Yeah, courts.
I forgot about them.
Yeah. There's a few others.
Ryan and I had took a walk around. We've actually connected a couple of times. So I re-looked at the empty space over there in the Justice Building. And I think that there's good usable space tomorrow for things that we're not thinking of. And ways that could be really positive. I'm thinking of Lisa needs to take a serious consideration. It's not a long-term thing because we're going to repurpose that for something. But for her musical element, it's secure. It's not a conflict with anything. There's nobody down there making sound. Nobody cares.
You mean in the basement?
Yeah.
Can I kick in on that? Some of the people she deals with on the veteran side that are in that music program are really, really, how do I say this, gun-shy about going... I suggested, maybe something out at the jail, something here. Jail doesn't want that. But they get real apprehensive if they're having to go through a bunch of keypads and continue on in down through the catacombs.
It's not that bad. And I would challenge people to go take a look at it. Before.
No, I've been down there, but there's also the police locker rooms down there.
It is not a friendly thing. To some of these guys have just come out.
Sure.
The thing that's keeping them on the straight and narrow is that music program.
Yeah. Okay.
PTSD, so on and so forth. They really, because I did, I brought up that to Lisa the other day when I was down talking to her.
Okay.
And she brought that up, that element that she says, I'm going to lose probably 30% of the people that are in that program. She's trying to expand the program,
sure.
not lose people because of where
we're
holding.
Has she been down there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
She has.
Well, then that's all.
So I think Ryan and I talked about it a little bit yesterday, mm-hmm. and he has a couple of options in other places. I think of just because we started out with a conversation with the D Street house over here,
right.
Or C Street house, and so yeah. We're exploring a whole bunch of different things along that.
So we did that tour. Toured the contractor's performance on the courts. They've gotten two courtrooms pretty much done, well underway. It is challenging because, the one element that was listed by the representative of the courts was there's a lip between the glass and the desk. I'm like, whoa, okay, that's what we're dealing with here. Whoa. Yeah, there's some little kind of rise where the glass isn't flush with the desk, but whatever.
That's minor.
Yeah, that's
but that that's called, their that's their personal space, so
do you get some caulking and fill
not,
it in?
Not for us to solve the problem.
Right.
I'm giving an illustration of the kind of detail we're talking about here.
Yeah.
So they're ripping out the entire bench stuff up there in courtroom
two. Right.
And that's going to be, and there's a murder trial coming up, and so Ryan's having to navigate. These are the times. Can't get this marble. The carpet doesn't match. I told him my perspective on the project is that you get the courtroom ready for work. I don't care what it really aesthetically looks like on a temporary basis. Long term, yes. But for this next trial, having it done and ready and functional and safe is the key element.
Yeah.
And then we move from there. So Ryan wasn't even consulted on the duration of time to extend the contract. So it went to legal with an expectation of the end of January. Good luck with that. We're going to have to probably extend it again. And it's just interesting.
As long as they're under they know that the reason the extensions are coming on is because of the glass or whatever.
No,
or is
it isn't.
Just because of
their schedules.
Their schedule, contractor's schedule.
They're not coordinating to the degree I think they should with Ryan. And I just want this board aware that if something comes down from on high, he's been doing what he needs to do. It's the fact that the contract went to how does it do that? Shouldn't you ask the coordinator of the project what the duration of the extension is rather than asking for multiple? Just ask for February or March and say, yeah, we're going to get it done by then for sure. Yeah. But anyway, and then it is busy as all get out over in juvenile. There isn't a room that didn't have somebody working in it, but it looks sharp. It looks really good.
Going to be ready by the opening, you think?
I think so.
Be sweeping up as they're opening the door.
Yeah, we're going to use our own custodial crew over there Sunday. We're going to pay them overtime because trying to get an outside contractor company to come in and clean is not going to happen. Yeah. So we're going to use our own crew, pay them overtime. They'll be in there this Sunday doing the first once over of it. Yeah. And then obviously we'll be doing some next week, but we have to allow them time to come in, and I mean juvenile, their staff, to get ready. So we'll be cleaning and finishing up, touching up. So
I still think it's a fantastic job that everybody's done across the board getting that thing ready. Mm-hmm. This soon after it was, we got the money to bring it back up. Fantastic. Yeah. Good. Yeah. And that shows results from the May election.
Yes.
Those are results from the May election.
We just got the money from the May election last month.
So
we've been doing it.
But they don't, the public out there does not.
No, they don't.
They don't get that.
They thought when they checked the box,
the money was going to start flowing.
Yep.
And that, we all know that isn't how that works. But I think it's done. You've done really well on it. So.
Thank you. And then just to circle back on the landscape and so forth. We're going to plant that heavily in the spring, once we can get some different types of vegetation. We're in the process of ordering a ground cover roses that'll line it.
Have a little color in there?
A little color, a little bit of thorn. Just try to keep people from sleeping there and so forth.
A little bit of everything.
The space down at the Justice Building, once we finish up some of these projects, I'd like us to kind of move over there. Maybe start doing carpet and paint, and that way if we find a tenant or somebody we want to move in there, it's turnkey rather than
Arthur and I met with a potential contractor developer yesterday on the Demick campus, and that's probably going to start gaining interest, I think, with our housing declaration. And I don't want us to be the reason they can't start demoing over there on the other buildings. And building something is because, we've got planning or, public health. So those are the things I'd rather get them moved sooner rather than later.
Are you talking, when you talk to Demick Campus, are you talking all the properties up there where we're planning and whatnot?
Well, this particular contractor was looking at a phased approach. So starting with one side or the other, public health and facilities, but facilities needs to find a new home, and so does planning and community development. But I think, I'm not sure exactly. I mean, it makes sense over there when we don't have the police department, because that would be part of the courthouse.
The CJIS issue is the concern with the mixed area with the police, is that we would have to somehow seal off areas to prohibit access to CJIS for compliance.
That's their concern. It's not my concern. They're in that building, and they've been there too long.
It's our concern in that our district attorney is also CJIS.
He's state elected.
We will care when we get fined and lose access for all our county departments, and that's the outcome if we're not compliant. So we want to be a part of finding the solution. So if it's building a wall to block off an access of a thing or locking off buildings, there's just some planning to be there.
We just need to be conscious that we are losing $85,000 a year having empty space not appropriated to somebody for the last 4-5 years. Mm-hmm. So you're approaching $500,000 that's cost us because they have been just nonchalant about finding a new location. And when they do find a new location, they don't do their diligence. They overspend and under-research and are spending millions on an albatross that, frankly, could have been solved over there for pennies on what they just spent.
Yeah.
And it's just ridiculous that we are in the crosshairs of their lack of diligence and planning. And so I'm okay with everybody knowing that we'll fix this leaking toilet over there when we get there, because we've got leaking toilets all over the place. It's just not on my high priority list that that be the most comfortable space in the world. I've asked them to consider moving over to the far side so we could put that wall over there and make it accessible to the rest of the courthouse so you can put a planning and community development or something like that over there. Nothing. That would be cheap to do that, to move them into a location that suits them. But we just haven't gotten any reception, and I'm getting a little frustrated by that, just costing us money every day.
What about eviction papers?
We can't. If you read the contract of the original inception, for us to get money to build it in the first place, they have the right to be a tenant there as long as they want. And I'm okay with that. Just help us out.
Do something.
Yeah.
Well, let's bring that up again at our next quarterly meeting with
the
mayor and city manager.
I think that's
second week or third week in January. So
is it next week?
It's the 16th.
Okay, second, yeah. But I would suggest we bring that up as, no offense, the other half is appropriate. We already have extended dispatch. The communication lines are down there.
He's got a great room for 911 to move where they got more room.
Yeah.
This project looks like it's going to take years for them to get done.
No, and it actually is quite possible and could be more secure. And
we could fix it all up just the way they want it and move over, you know, and then we fix up this side, build that wall. It could totally work, but it's just...
Yeah, we just have a turnkey so they take their personals and move on over.
We thought we'd move slow.
Yeah, well, let's bring it up to the city manager again. I think he'd be more receptive if we approach it from a different standpoint.
Yep.
It looks like you guys' plan initially changed. You're going to be here longer. How can we make this be a win-win for both of us? We'd like to accommodate, make it better for you guys on the other side so we can utilize the space that we need.
I won't say that it's not possible, but that conversation has happened. Doesn't tell.
Right, but that was when they had big plans for what they were going to do over there, and those big plans right now have been put on very much on hold because they were expecting a seismic grant to get started on the thing, and it didn't happen because they weren't occupants.
Right.
So they're set back, and that seismic grant was substantial. One of their big complaints, and the egg on the face, is that the seismic aspect of this building is why they wanted to buy that building. Is because they didn't think this
These
was
issues assignment. Are like nothing compared to that building.
Exactly.
And there was not a formal engineering report.
No,
on the seismic thing.
No, it's just
at least
it
not
clear to me. And that was
not what you got. A one pager saying there's seismic
memo.
Issues.
Yeah.
But I think I agree with Commissioner Morgan that I think we need to bring that up at the next joint meeting.
I think we should
as one of our topics. I think that's a great topic to breach. So
good.
Okay.
Well, and I know that. Mr. Weber has been thinking about, you know, what's appropriate for public health. You know, of course, we're trying to still figure out what's the future plan based on what happens with the measure. Do we even keep going with RFP?
Right.
And those are things he's going to bring back to us on the 25th and just what is the next steps. And but he had talked about the second floor over at building and planning would be conducive to what they needed. But why move them someplace?
No.
They're just going to have to move. So
that's not an option.
And we've talked about consolidating public works, customer service with building and planning and stuff like that. And I like that they have the window space down there. I mean, there's so many possibilities. But until we kind of know what we're working with, where do we go?
Okay.
One thing I see, and I think I heard a little bit about it the other day, is as we get poking around with cameras and stuff, I've had people, all of a sudden there's this degree of angst of what's happening.
Right.
You know, so we got to be kind of careful with employees.
What's that?
With employees. Employees, you know, they come around with, and you're taking pictures and walking the property with people, and they don't know what's going on, you know.
Public works, because the folks were up there taking pictures yesterday unescorted, it caused some angst with public health. Public works, I said the wrong word. Public health.
Public health.
Staff confronted the people.
That was our deal.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know anything
So your
about
folks
it.
Showed up at the building and were walking around the secure areas and taking pictures before they came down here and met with you guys.
That was not.
I had nothing to do with it.
And they explained to staff when they were confronted, oh, no, we're doing a tour with you guys at 2 o'clock. And my response to them was they should have been
escorted.
Are you talking to me here?
No.
He kind of. It's not your fault.
It's not his deal.
I had nothing to do with it.
No, he's behind you. It's Arthur and you.
Yeah, we're just...
But okay. Public health was getting a hold of me in a panic of why are these people taking pictures of our building? And it might be smart that if we're going to do that again, we might give public health a heads up, but also talk to those folks about don't show up on the property without us.
They can show up on public property. They can't go past no trespassing.
They were past the gates in a lot.
That's against the law, yeah. And I don't have anything more than the sign says.
In today's atmosphere,
they can take pictures. They can do
on security and so on and so forth. Strange people that we get this, you know.
Yeah.
If you see something, say something.
Right.
And that was something, so they said something. So how do we fix that in the future?
We didn't know they were going to go
somebody
there.
Yeah.
There was no discussion on that of them going anywhere. They were to meet here at 2 o'clock.
And they did, but prior to that, they did their own thing.
Yeah.
Who was this?
And yeah. even in our discussion.
Just some potential. No.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. Contractor developers up there.
Oh, but, for Dimmick.
Yeah, they, you know, 28 minutes and
not terribly
optimistic about where that goes. It's just...
Anything else for facilities? Do you have anything more, Ryan?
No.
I just said something. We did meet yesterday. Arthur and I met with the Fair Board.
Okay.
And the upcoming, you know, discussing the upcoming grants and whatnot. Right. We were very specific that you were brought in the loop from ground zero all the way through
this
process, because I see that, I know in the past we've had some... He said, she said, we were specific about it yesterday,
right.
That facilities is brought into right off the bat, anything that needs to go on over there that you're brought into the loop, and for your expertise, because you are facilities for the county and they are a county facility. So we made that very clear. They're excited.
That's great. Yeah, they're excited about that.
They got a lot of general contractors on board willing to do some work, but again, it does have to coordinate with you. You guys got to be first.
Yeah.
And get, you know, they can't expect you to come on board afterwards. And
right, yeah.
Well, he has the expectation of the degree of, and the level of work that's done. And we don't want somebody just coming in and, oh, yeah, I did all that. And Ryan comes, whoa, wait a minute. You know, that doesn't fit in with what we want. I think, you know, he's a facilities guy. He needs to be there from the very get-go. And I think we just established that. Because it has a couple of projects, I guess it wasn't done under prior managers or whatever, I don't know when, but I think that going forward, if you're in the loop,
right,
that cleans up an awful lot of stuff.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think that would help.
All right. Two more things.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Tacoma, we need to get out there for an evaluation with Mark.
Okay.
At some point. You guys can do that. You don't need me.
Okay.
Coordinate something.
We're just getting it ready for occupancy,
yes,
type thing.
Okay. Certificate of occupancy.
Certificate of occupancy.
Yeah. I don't want carpet. I don't want paint unless there's a safety element with the carpet. Nothing like that.
Do you want me to move forward on the stuff that I know that it's going to need, like fire alarm inspections?
Yes.
We're going to have to do those.
Yep. Those are boxes you'll have to check anyway.
So I can get them scheduled. And,
yes.
And
all
move
that
forward.
Stuff.
Yeah, we had discussed that we want to get it ready, so then we have the right to, and we'll recoup down the road versus expect somebody else to get it there. We want it ready.
We want a certificate of occupancy able to be issued, but the aesthetics of new paint in bathrooms or something like that, no, they can, I don't want to pick up wall color that they're not going to like. You know, it's not aviation blue, so we repaint it or carpet the same thing. That's they can generate funds to do that.
But safety, security type stuff that are going to work across the board, we could take care of.
Yes, that anybody's going to need.
Yeah, and then until we know the exact occupancy, it'll be hard to know exactly what we need.
That's true, but the
basics, they're moving along pretty
commercial
fast.
Commercial occupancy.
Over there. Okay.
I mean, didn't Julie say commercial takes a higher level of something or other?
Yes.
And commercial is what it is. It's not residential, so it's
so
whatever that highest level of.
You know. Depends on, you know, treatment.
True.
It's going to be a 24-hour. I mean, that's almost a given, I would think, but maybe.
Dorms used, showers used.
So real similar to what it was in the past.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the other one is the Hugo Hills, and we need to figure that out one way or the other.
So the agency.
Mr. Moore.
Yeah, the agency that is interested is full on ready to go. What they were waiting on is approval from AllCare, and AllCare is waiting on anything until the measure.
Well, how about a conversation with us about whether or not that's going to be crossing the T's and dotting the I's for whatever, not Arthur, but your people, what you need. Let's schedule that for an executive session. Totally qualified for the land use, and you can bring us up to speed on what the specifics are.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I know zero. Pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
And so Arthur will have some questions about qualified services or something. They may or may not, and we may or may not care. But we need to know that if we go with this one,
mm-hmm.
you're writing a check for $73,000 or whatever it is. To make it right on that old grant. So
okay,
we'll do one next week or the week after.
I'm just wondering if it's appropriate to bring them down for an executive session or just have them talk with Arthur.
Yeah, I don't think there's any need to have that discussion with Spire or whoever the you know.
So I can get you in touch with them.
Right.
And then we have the executive session. Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
What the board wants.
I don't know if they if you can convey what their purpose is.
Yeah, you and I, let's talk, and I'll get you his contact information, and you can talk directly.
I think the end result is to get the whole board up to speed as to exactly what's going on out there.
Yeah.
I think that's the key there.
Everything hangs on the Measure 101 that is coming on the 23rd.
Yeah. So there's an awful lot hinging on that, so... There's some other things that we're going to leave to talk for that.
One other thing. Our visitor we had here this morning.
Right.
Security overall, we have, courts has security on the second floor. The basement and first floor, we don't have security roaming. And it's becoming more and more of a problem with transients.
Mm-hmm.
They're urinating in the hallway on, if not a daily basis, at least a weekly basis. My staff is starting to become security and escorting people in, similar
especially
to what
closing up the
myself and JJ did today. So I would like the board to kind of think about options that we could use.
So we want to hire private security?
That was my thought, was it might be worthwhile at this point. Most hospitals and stuff have somebody walking around, and I think we've gotten to that point that we probably, you know.
Concierge do something like that?
Well, so... what we'd have to look at is the cost of having somebody for the hours of 8 to 5, whether it's be cheaper to hire a staff person to rotate that's actually on our payroll versus contract out with something else. You'd have to look at the price comparison of what would be a better option.
With that, it's going to be cheaper to outsource it, but there's a union issue with whether or not we can supplant a potential employee of the county versus, because it'll be cheaper to go with concierge.
And I would be happy to have that as part of our department because we provide the keys, the security of the alarms.
Yep.
So,
well, and also
it's a contract or
just the understanding in that process of people have a right to access a public building, but what they do in the public building is not a right necessarily.
Yeah.
So,
I think it might be good to bring concierge to figure out what and see what their tell them what our concerns are and see what they and have them proposal.
Ryan, why not? If you want to do that with Arthur or whatever and JJ making sure, I think there's a way to craft it in such a way that it isn't a job in-house. I think
it's not supplying.
It's different than what we're looking to try to achieve. And so
yeah, maybe
it wouldn't be a substitute
a day,
for somebody coming over
right.
to our weekly business session. That's not their role. Their role is, and it may not just be this building. It may be, there might be issues in other buildings and stuff which might make it different than what we would have as a normal employee here.
Right.
So
yeah.
Let's look at that.
I think that would be great.
Okay.
I think that is a good idea.
All right.
Well, I know your budget's swimming in extra cash, so that will be something we'll have to take up. I think the general understanding of previous boards, and I think this board in the last budget cycle, was the idea that we set your rate, and you don't know for 12 months where that's going to go,
right.
whether or not you're going to come out at the end of the year with a plus or a minus.
Yeah.
It'll be the board's... has had the expectation, we will make you whole. You do what you need to do, and we'll figure it out on the other side. Don't feel like, I don't want custodial staff cut in the last third of the year to make sure that you can make it in the black, or don't quit paying the power bill, and everybody's going to have to bundle up for the last...
It gets a little chilly.
You do what you have to do, and we'll figure it out.
Okay.
I do want to just commend Debbie and her crew. And I watched her over here with some new folks working and just working late with some extra crews and right before the holidays and such. And I just want to say thank you. And
thank you.
I think to pass that along. And, you know, they just
our custodian that's assigned here just always has a great attitude and willing to help and doesn't want to interrupt because I'm always here late. Not always, sometimes, but it's one of those things that they just truly want to.
It's been challenging. I mean, we've lost close to half the staff over this last year, and trying to replace them in this market has not went well. So we're using a lot of temps. So each and every employee is also an escort because these people have not had CJIS clearance or other clearances. So they're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Pass it on. I like it. Thank you. Anything else for Ryan? Thank you, Ryan. All right. Appreciate it. Next up, item number 3, finance report and business update. Arthur.
We should probably open the door back up.
Did they take care of that?
Oh, yeah. He was letting me know or asking what we wanted done, and I suggested a trespass for the day and that they explained that he just can't interrupt meetings. We can't trespass him from the building. Apparently, he's a frequent visitor of our floor, but just kind of the disruption of the meetings.
He uses the law library.
Yes.
And that's another concern, that we have a staffer up there all by herself, and Ryan's working on that's the issue. Something as far as a call button. She'd also like, she can be back shelving books, and she doesn't know that somebody's come or gone into that room. It used to be that it squeaked, but they fixed the squeak, and now they can't tell.
Would you make it not squeak, Ayers? Yeah.
Nice.
So are we looking for like a buzzer when the door opens and shuts?
Something. Put a chime of some
so she
kind.
Knows that there's.
And we've gotten some prices on different.
Somebody
dress.
Asked her something 2 weeks ago or before the holidays, and she answered, and then she walked away, but she's still in her office, and she's like, I never heard the door open. She goes out to check, and the woman standing right there has been for like. T minus 7 minutes, 10 minutes. Can I help you? And I mean, it's really not a good situation.
Well, and they have those push buttons that can be worn on the individual versus just at a certain location. So if she is going back and
doing
that
stuff.
It's on her, so no matter where she's at, she can get help.
I think that's going to be something we're going to need in there, regardless of she's not the permanent staff person for that. Mm-hmm. It's limited, but yeah, interesting clientele, I think. And then there's the judges. Those people are just kidding.
Careful. Okay, Arthur, welcome to the table.
Thank you. Thank you. The main thing I wanted to bring up today was the remind you of the budget committee. Looking forward to this next coming budget cycle. We do have one committee member that I understand is not going to extend her term. She's done, so we have an opening on the budget committee.
This year there's an opening?
This year, yeah, okay. For this coming committee. And so typically, I mean, we're in good shape. We normally appoint people in February-ish to the budget committee if there is a need to have them. So that's something that the board has traditionally done, you know.
Sought applications,
yeah. You know, just like any other board or committee or advisory group. And typically, though, of course, we do try to make sure that we know of at least one or two qualified candidates to that we encourage to apply.
I think we've had some inquiries about that. So.
Okay, so I just wanted to remind you that that's something that needs to happen. And
is that an appropriate function of the board, or is it the budget officer? I'm just spitballing. There isn't a degree of separation really that's necessary.
I don't think there is,
it's
correct.
It's not like the elected official's compensation.
The board has traditionally taken care of it, but that's not to say it couldn't be delegated to someone to, say, follow up and...
I don't have a problem with it, because I don't think that there is a nexus of a conflict of interest of some sort. So we make the decision anyway, even if you were to facilitate it.
Right.
It's
right.
Not like...
Correct.
He could do the process, and then it comes to the board.
Wouldn't matter. Yeah. So we might as well
do that.
So if you would like that yeah, would be fine with me.
Okay. I think
the only question I have is going into a primary election time is, I mean, do we have a policy of being neutral of candidates? So if somebody's filing that we're
we
not...
We typically do not select candidates for either... advisory committees or the Budget Committee, Rural Planning Commission. I wouldn't advise that in the past.
I wouldn't either, because there's an opportunity that they could become there by election.
No, my bigger issue is that it's not giving preference towards a candidate.
That's the point.
Yeah.
And we purposely didn't appoint Tony Webb to the Parks Advisory when she was a registered candidate for commissioner. It's just, it's not appropriate.
So my only concern is that the registration deadline, I want to say, is March.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we pick it in February, it may still be somebody that's filing to be a candidate and would maybe want to...
wait till after the filing deadline?
Correct. I'm just trying to
do
look at what that is.
Do we have time to do that if we wait till after the filing deadline?
We've never considered that in the past. I think we typically have known, you know, whether or not the person was likely to run as a candidate.
Or potential candidate.
A potential candidate. Yeah. I mean, we obviously wouldn't pick a Ken Hannum. I don't know if Ron Smith has actually filed yet or not, but you don't pick a Ron Smith who's looking to run. I think Tyler Flaming has considered it. You wouldn't pick him, you know. So try to steer clear potential.
Just see what comes up on March 1st. But I don't want to hold this process up when we get started.
No, I think we need to advertise and give people plenty of time to think about.
Okay.
Yep.
So March 6th is the last day to file.
We don't typically hold meetings before that time. But
No. The earliest we've held has been April. The last couple of years, there's been significant ballot measures, so we wanted to make sure that the Budget Committee meeting spanned the May election date for obvious reasons, since they had significant impact on the budget. This year we won't have that, I don't believe, so in the May. So
when are you sending out your budget like message? We need a directive from the board about the potential goals, and one of those needs to be that the board consider a two-year budget. I've spoken with a number of managers who consider it actually kind of a good idea, and I think that there's going to be something that you could do in the interim that's more in-depth than just the seemingly routine review of the budgets on an annual basis that you could do in that interim year. It's not as though you wouldn't do anything, because there would be adjustments necessary, but I don't need to necessarily discuss the whole process right now, but at some point I think leading the board through the budget process, because they came in.
Yeah.
No, they did a budget process.
Yeah. So what, in the interest of a biennial budget, I have contacted Benton County, who's the only other county who does a biennial budget. There are some cities that also do biennial budgets. So I have some material from the city of Milwaukee. But what I'm going to do is put together a presentation, or at least a discussion, for the board regarding biennial budgets. Hopefully the pros,
the cons,
you know, what's advantages, disadvantages, time frame. So just an informational review. And that will be in sometime within the next month
or so. Are we going to do that first? To decide whether the upcoming budget
it would
be
part of the directives going out. If we did choose to do a two-year budget, programs need to know that that's what they're supposed
correct.
To be.
Correct. That's what I wanted. How much headway are they going to get?
We need to have that conversation soon.
Sooner. Yeah.
Okay.
Traditionally, historically, what we've done for the past numerous years is that typically we've finance has put together the payroll Schedule D, the payroll projection for the coming year, based on February payroll. So sometime during February, we would get that out to the departments, along with the board's goals and directives, have the due date for the departmental submissions sometime towards the end of March, so that we could have a budget, give us a few weeks to compile the budget, make sure everything balances and so on, and so that we could have a budget ready for sometime mid-April. Typically, that's what we've done. So if we want, again, the budget just has to be approved and the tax rates adopted by the end of June, before July 1, you know, so we can
operate. And we have to have one public meeting. Those are the rules.
Correct. We have to have one public meeting, so the Budget Committee meeting. So I think we have time, and we can look at that when that next when I get together with you on the biennial budget.
I just want to say that I'm personally not married to the idea of a 2-year budget. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of fiscal planning, not year to year, hand to mouth, so to speak, mm-hmm. that we can, you know, plan a little bit in advance, and it doesn't mean that things are cut in stone. A budget is just a roadmap.
Just a budget.
It doesn't mean that it's the Bible.
I would prefer to see more of something along the lines of a 5-year, 10-year plan for each department.
I think we could do in addition, and the board has talked about having a 5-year plan and longer for certain things, like facilities works or whatever.
Well, and it becomes an annual or biannual revisitation of that 5-year, 10-year plan. Yeah. So that becomes a roadmap, and it gets tweaked each and every year, so that it's always 5 years or 10 years.
Well, and that's what I had said the other day, is a 1-year, a 5-year, a 10-year.
Exactly.
So I think most departments would benefit from that kind of projection effort. I have several things just to discuss. You took my thunder on the Dimmick property and the Hugo property, so thank you, Commissioner Hare.
Got to get up early.
and then and also on the NVIP project manager. So that's 3 down out of my list.
Well, what's the status on that one? The rest of us don't have any information on it.
Well, as we mentioned, we did meet with Civil West, not too much, really not much happening. We did meet with one potential vendor that would provide project management. I've had discussion with our existing contractor on the Dimmick about potential management. So we're waiting right now for a written response from Civil West to see what they propose. Yes, mm-hmm.
what it would look like.
What exactly it might look like from their point of view.
We had a good conversation with them. It was they're intimately familiar with the workings of developing such a system, and they've been doing the preliminary reviews and engineering already. It's not as though they're not qualified to do that element. What's not typical for institutions like this is that we would have them do what a typical administrator would be providing for. We don't have that. And like what Julie was looking for to do today, that little deal right there, we don't have anybody to assign to do those kinds of things on a daily basis. So you need that on a grand scale. And it seemed foreign a little bit to them. They weren't picking up exactly what we were putting down as far as what we needed.
Now, what was their scope of work that you described to them? What were you looking at for the North Valley?
About a stern creation of a industrial sewer facility.
And anything else other than just the sewer facility? Or
for me, my hope is that they also, through this process, we look at the water extension. Right. We need to have the North Valley annexation of the airport so that we can get water out to them. So, and water and the sewer would go hand in hand. But if we're not annexing them...
Now, they provide water outside of the North Valley Industrial Park. So it's really key that you understand that you don't have to have the industrial park as a precursor to getting water. And they're separate systems and they're separate processes. We do have to expand it into the airport to get them sewer services that are provided by the...
That's what I meant. But
I know. Yeah.
But in order to get the sewer, they have to have the water. They need the water because the water is failing. In order to put the water, they have to have the sewer. The sewer needs to be done. They're all tied.
Water that they're being provided is not water use on a daily basis. It's for fire suppression.
I think it's
really important that we say the right... It's the expanded hangar size of all those east side, is predicated on the idea that they don't all have to individually come up with fire suppression reservoirs on the side. Yeah. It's so much cheaper and efficient to just have a fire hydrant there at the end of your deal. It's perfect.
But what we're looking for is a project manager that takes care of that top layer. They're not actually doing the detailed engineering report or the construction. The construction contracts or anything. They oversee
but
that.
But they're answering these questions.
And they answer those questions, I think that's it.
This has been a conversation that Aaron Kubik and I have had a couple times, and it always came back to, that water went out to
Paradise.
The landfill, because it was residential.
They've said right now that all they're waiting on is us to annex, and then they can do this.
Okay. I don't know where, you know, that's what they would like to see. I don't know whether that's a requirement, because I was talking to David Reese, well, we can't sell water commercially out there except for standby. And I said, you sell water commercially outside the city all the time. And he said, we do. And I said, shut your card lock down.
But since he said that, city manager has said twice to us in this room and in another that we need to annex, and they will work with us.
Well, even if it's for standby, that's okay. There are wells at the airport, and we can get water. That's not our real need. That's not impacting or holding anything up. The project manager is. And so let's focus on that.
And the project manager is the one who would investigate those issues and try to figure out what needs to happen and how that works. So that's moving along. One thing I was reading this morning, and this is just, I'll follow up and confirm, but with the new, apparently the state of Oregon removed on the 17% marijuana collection, the original measure said law enforcement purposes. Apparently that's been amended when they changed the distribution formula, and they've removed that mandate or that requirement. So basically the 17% is now a general fund.
Correct.
Can be used for any general fund purpose, which I found that to be great, although we meaning you,
both dollars? Board.
Yeah.
Both dollars?
Both, two of them, yeah, 2 cents.
So the 3% one that we collect locally does
ours.
Have restrictions.
Because you folks put restrictions
correct.
On it.
Correct. Yeah, the ballot board. Language the has restrictions.
Yeah. And then the 17. But the board has...
Well, as a citizen who votes, technically the citizens who vote put the restrictions.
The kicker is we wouldn't be able to use it for law enforcement if I hadn't insisted on that word being included, because the other two did. They didn't want it dedicated to that, which I don't understand.
So the board has designated those to fund those three positions that you're aware of, for planning and the sheriff, and so that's already been designated. But I thought it was interesting that the
state
has changed
that. So is that appropriation on the new formula?
The 170 was on the new formula.
So is there any chance that we could get somewhat of a projection? I mean, even if it stayed the same?
It's too early. We don't have enough data points. The landscape is still changing. You know, some of the restrictions we put in as a county.
We haven't put in any?
Well, yes, right. But true.
We've tried.
Tried. Yeah. So, With the whole moving over to the medical, to the recreational, and the OLCC. So I think there's still enough variables to where I'd be hesitant to try to say that 170 is a solid number that's going to be consistent for each quarter. Closer than what we had before. But I wouldn't know.
I
can't give it a year, because also the price, my understanding is the price of marijuana has been somewhat gone down, suppressed because of the volume. So
good. Yeah, so we won't use a projected revenue stream for budgeting.
We'll have another data point before budgets are prepared, maybe even a third one. So you know, we might be able to put something in there and probably a reasonable conservative amount.
Well, didn't the state extend the registration or application period to sometime in July? It was supposed to be done by the first of the year, and you either had your stuff in or you didn't.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
But that they extended it to July so more people could come in.
So, again, we don't really know how many people. We don't have a definitive number right now.
We won't have that data until next year, which is what we all wanted to avoid.
Yeah. Well, we'll probably have enough to put in something, you know, at least to offset something.
You could, as a baseline, you could use what is applied now already. That make sense?
Yeah, I'd be hesitant to commit to 170 per quarter just as a conservative issue, but, you know, we got it. We did get 170.
Burn the hand.
Let's hold off on that one.
And that's what I brought forward, unless you have questions on anything.
Questions or comments?
Oh, I had some.
I would like to see one of your staff get trained in using the mail machine. Mm-hmm. If you could designate one of your staff that would be appropriate for that. I need to ask that of HR, too, and I forgot, and legal. But it would be nice to have some options on this floor for backups for the mail machine. Mm-hmm. And part of that came from your staff mentioned on Friday that they had mail that needed to go out, and I didn't know how to show them how to do the machine. But it'd be great to have some redundancy.
Yeah.
I should probably learn how to use the machine as well, so I could say, here's how you do it. But
well, of course, we did get the email from the board's office to talk about backup and support.
I think, we were talking about cross-training.
Right.
While Wendy and Ricky are cross-training in here, it leaves the window open. I think it's a great idea, and I think Ricky sent out a deal yesterday that I had a time packet for today that sent out the requesting from those three departments on this floor. Is somebody that could come over and cross train just for the times that we don't have somebody at the window. I think that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
So answering the phone and getting our messages through.
Right.
So when I talked to Wendy about that, I would suggest a couple of weeks of doing that, of having somebody in there with Ricky during these meetings is the perfect time. So I'd like to get that started ASAP.
Yeah.
After that's done, then that person can be in there when Ricky can be in here. And then that happens for a couple of weeks. She gets familiar with what Wendy does. And then Wendy moves back into that thing, and there's somebody there. We have to be a little concerned about who has access and knows how to do that, because there's provisions as far as people being able to run mail through there that isn't appropriate to be used for that, and it just get billed, and people pay for it, and it's like, well, no, that's not, so we a little bit of parameters on that. We were going to have a discussion about it. It's not long. I've thought about it, so I'll just bring you up to speed on when Arthur can fill in the gaps, because I'm sure there are going to be some. We had a mail contract service beforehand where everybody in the courthouse pretty much would provide the mail to that contractor. And a year or two ago, we had a hiccup where they just fell down on their performance, and all the mail was starting to stack up in some room somewhere. And it wasn't being processed. It wasn't being mailed out. It costs us, I don't know, it was $20,000, $15,000, $20,000. There was a contract cost associated to that. So by buying the equipment, bringing it in-house, we made sure that there's obviously no mail stacking up here. It gets out in a timely fashion. If it doesn't get out that day, people need to understand that that's okay. You shouldn't have stuff coming around to have to get out that day. It wouldn't have gone out that day with our old contract service.
It wouldn't have gone out that day.
There isn't a contract service where you can hand it to them other than the post office and have it done that day. So it needs to be a little bit of a breadth of, okay, we'll get it out on Monday. The holidays are a bad time where Monday is a holiday too or whatever.
So what about putting the machine down in the mailroom and each department is individually responsible for a code for their department and they put out their own mail?
I think that's a little bit inefficient to have that many people
using a machine. They might need it all at the same time.
Right.
Yeah.
I like your idea of maybe cross-training with a couple of high users.
I think so. Yeah.
Even clerk's office would be my number one start.
That's a very good point. They have a tendency to
use it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're, they've prepared everything, feed it through the machine.
Yeah, I think, we do have DA, treasurer, that will use a mail service to send out their big mailings, tax statement, property tax statement, and so on.
Our ballots as well.
Ballots and things. So, but the routine daily mail, I think that's a good idea to have some backup. Central mail services, or have everybody have access to the machine. I don't think everybody would be as diligent and careful.
And I don't want to see each department have to hire somebody extra just to do mail, but at the same time, we should look at options. One thing I talked about with the Aspire company as they were looking for job placement was, is this a position that could be a job placement with Aspire?
I don't know.
And so to evaluate if that's appropriate, you know, and all that kind of stuff. They come with a job coach. They, you know, there's oversight. There's, you know, stuff like that. So I don't know. I think it would behoove us to look at options. But where we found ourselves on Friday is our staff has a right to take some time off. And yet we're the only ones that do mail. So therefore it affects the whole county getting mail done. And it shouldn't keep our staff from being allowed time off.
Long weekend.
So having a couple folks be trained to do it so that there's some backup that we can say, hey, would you do this on Friday?
Or, I think the fewer people you can get by doing that, I think Commissioner Hare brings up a very good point of, you know, I'll just go run all my stuff through the machine, you know. Nah.
Yeah, my stuff. Not everybody else's, just mine.
I think we need to.
It's an obvious place for abuse, and I don't think we should.
Keep it as close to the chest as possible. Okay, any other questions for Arthur? Mm-hmm. Arthur, thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, next up is under other business. Pat, she is going to come up with the, well, Ryan's done the vow. We're going to have a Pat as a timeline or question to be added to the mail vow. Thank you for coming in this morning.
Which one are we doing? The ballot?
Either one.
Okay. While you're
doing, to give some background on a non-binding question, the board has the prerogative to all boards. Maybe actually all governing bodies. Maybe not.
One more for one.
No, I think it could just be board. Anyway, it's up to us. We have the authority. Out of the 8 or 9 that we've submitted in the 7 years that I've been here, I think I've come up with all but one. Commissioner Haugen, I think, came up with one. And they've been very, very helpful. I can't speak enough to how they have helped provide direction to the board and clarity on certain controversial issues. The expansion of the recreational and wild and scenic designation. A significant portion of Josephine County, because it impacts really just everybody, not just the owners, said, no, that's not what we want done. And I think that was really helpful to Congressman Walden, who's used that on the House floor in saying this BLM designation is maybe not what the community wants.
Does he need one on the drawing back the, I don't know what they call that?
Siskiyou National
Monument. Yeah, you're going to say a Siskiyou National Monument thing.
It's a little outside. The nexus for it impacting Josephine County is on the fact that there's shared receipts from every tree that's cut, and we get 12.05% of all of those revenues. It's a little bit harder of a connection for us to just ask.
But would ONC, the ONC counties?
You know, I think it's an appropriate question. I've talked to Colleen Roberts about, you should ask your voters, because what they have at their town halls is a dominance of people in one opinion or the other. So I don't need to go into the efficacy, I think, of non-binding questions. But I'm in favor of any ballot where there's an element of something that we need clarity on.
Did you have an example of what you would want to put on the ballot in May?
I don't. I am considering probably 3 different proposed questions on different issues, but I don't have it. It's not coming together quite yet, but I think we've got time is what this tells me.
Okay, what you're asking for here is, what is the schedule if we wish to put something on?
So the top says general, it should say primary, but the distinction...
The year is the general election primary.
Yeah, but the distinction being that if it's a special election, we have to go back and we have to start another 30 days ahead because of our charter. But we're not in that year, so...
Right, because this is just a regular election because it's the primary.
Right.
We received an email after this meeting started at 9:37 advising that U.S. Attorney Jeff Sessions has rescinded the whole memo. Mm-hmm. And that's something that will impact Josephine County.
Shocker.
Yes. Yeah. Shocker. So, you know, it's one of those things.
Cole memorandum. Cole who?
Who? I knew a couple of Coles.
Well, thank you for this, Pat. This is great.
I just want to say the format is great for me, too. Delineating here for me and then giving me a visual here. Yeah. Love that format.
I need the visual, too. So
thank you, because this is something I love that the laws are there.
We can
refer
to this whenever we need to see if we're on track. Yeah. Very good. Yeah.
This isn't her first time being asked this question.
No, she's got her buckle. Not her first rodeo, right?
Okay. Any other questions for Pat?
Only thing that I think you should consider is that you don't have to have a perfect thing. Throw something out there as an option. I think we should agree that we're going to do one and that you have till March 15th to pull it.
It doesn't
cost you a dime. Just time, energy, blood, sweat, and tears, out of legal.
This has a couple of... February 5th is just kind of a...
Suggested.
Yes, because there's 2 weeks built in for admin. Because what happens often is we get done and then, let's make revisions rather than go right to the very next business session.
So you've built
so there's
in
a bit extra week built into that.
Excellent.
Okay. And then the codification project timeline, I didn't really realize that you were looking for something in writing.
I didn't know that. I just wanted something I can reference.
Yeah, so it just says, I don't know.
That's fine.
I'm kidding.
There it is.
Legal interpretation.
All this means is, I don't know.
Yeah. It's stuff like whenever. The one thing that I confirmed with the editor who's doing ours, the editor, contractor's editor at Code, is that they said that a lot of entities go ahead and publish the code online before they ever adopt it. And I said, I'll get back to you on that because I think from legal's point of view, we would probably not think that was a good idea. But it's up to you all.
Well, it would likely be published as a process of adopting it, but not be misinterpreted as the adopted code.
Right.
I don't like those kinds of things.
No,
why do we do what we just did if it's already publicly perceived as that's what it is?
Yeah.
And in their minds, and I've heard it 100 times, you've already made up your mind, your decision. You know, in all truth on this, we have.
We did.
There's really not a lot of room to negotiate on this one.
True, but...
But it's still, there's a process. It's like having the 13 days between having multiple readings. I don't like that the city does both readings on one night. That's inappropriate. The intent of 2 readings is that there is some degree of separation. Mm-hmm. So...
The other thing that I have to confirm, I know Wally told me that it's a 35-day timeline to get it to DLCD. But I haven't been able to, and he's not here for me to say, where did that come from? Is that, you know, somewhere in statute?
And it's for a land use change.
Yes.
It's for a proposed change. We're not changing our land use laws, so to speak.
Yeah, I was told by Julie. So that's something
Josh in an hour and a half.
Oh, good.
I can ask him.
Okay. Because that also came from Julie, and I believe from Josh.
Yes.
Through Julie. So they may see it as a change.
Yes.
But
I don't mind that. It's not that big a deal. They're not going to have comments. They're already working on the substantial portion of our code, which is the resource.
Which will change later, right?
Which will change later.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, they're intimately familiar with our code.
So. Yes.
And it's only one section of what we're looking to codify here. Is the RLDC. Everything else, they don't care about.
And that's Title 19, where it says at the beginning, because I think we talked about this on Tuesday, Title 19 had some challenges, put it that way. And so we came up with a plan for Title 19, and that's what they kind of, in a way, had to redo that. So she's just saying she's got the questions, they're coming in as soon as possible. One of the... unknowns is if she gets those questions in this week before I leave.
Julie.
No, the code publishing.
Oh, okay.
If she gets those questions back to us Otherwise, there could be a little bit of a delay because I'm going to be gone for two weeks. So. Okay.
That's kind of the stuff that I was hoping that we, you know, what are we anticipating as far as some of those issues? But there shouldn't be substantial questions at this point.
No, she said it wouldn't be. She said it's not like you're going to have to look at it all from the beginning again. No. There's just a couple of that she anticipates. Short list.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else for Pat?
No, but I'm going to sneak out for 2 minutes. Thanks.
Great. Thank you.
I do have a question for you that we don't finish before I'm back.
Do we have it? We got board bids. We got that. Okay. Next is JJ, isn't it? JJ, you want to come up? She did 5A while she was sitting there. Okay.
All right.
Maybe we should talk about something else that doesn't need to the degree. Mr. Chair, Commissioner Morgan, so we aren't having to rehash something that she's going to want to have input on. I think the liaison list is something that, you know, she's already had substantial.
You want to skip B and go to C?
If you don't mind, I think that's probably the most effective use without. So.
When did you want to do B?
No.
Later on this morning or at another date?
No, just later on this morning. That she's going to want to have input on. And
okay.
Right. Some of her liaisons are.
Do we have any meetings coming up that you or Commissioner Morgan needs to attend?
Nope, I'm good. I'm here.
Okay. All right.
So I did want you to make you aware that I may not be available on Tuesday morning for the general discussion with the BLM. There's a meeting in Salem that I've been invited to attend.
Okay.
I'm at this regional, it's the Urban Rural Caucus. I want you to, this is what the scope of it is. It's not costing the county anything. They're covering all of my travel.
And that's Tuesday morning. You're going to be up there Monday anyway.
I'm up there Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
And Monday.
Monday, I thought it was from 9 to noon, so I could go to some of AOC. It's from 9 to 3, and so I won't be there at all. That meeting I wanted to go to is in the evening, Monday evening, and so I'm looking to probably stay one more night and then come back Tuesday morning, but I'll miss.
And this is Tuesday?
No, that's Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Okay, all right.
And so I only brought one copy, but you can peruse. What I'm going to be asking this group out of our six meetings over 6 months is that they propose to the state legislature to refer a referendum changing the state constitution to having each county be represented by a state senator. So if you do that, I think it's a step in the right direction for bridging the urban-rural divide in the state of Oregon.
Yeah, I would agree. You bet.
And I'm going to be arguing heavily over the 6 months that we come out of this with a product, and that could be our product. And it seems fair and equitable and, frankly, reflective of the federal. You know, we each state, doesn't matter how small you are, gets two senators.
Gets two senators.
So if everybody had their one guy, it would provide balance, whereas right now in the state, it's looking
everything's
upon. Nobody cares about rural Oregon because we don't have a seat at the table. Mm-hmm. So that's where
just great.
Buying, I was buying JJ great. Time.
Thank you.
All right.
Yes, sir.
So let's
go. We're going to skip B and go to C?
No, back on B now.
We're back on B now? Okay, go.
Back on B. So I guess the purpose of today's meeting is to finalize the handful of positions the board wasn't sure on as it relates to director salary.
The only concern I had in looking at the list, the list is in our packet, doesn't have...
Did you bring copies? I know it's on here, but I didn't look it up.
I updated this morning to include the cost of living adjustment. And in the final row, I put what my recommendation was and to what range I'm recommending.
My thought was of all the of all the directors, why one is at a one. Everybody else got at least a two, so it's kind of just one of those things that they've been here a couple years.
What do you mean a one?
The proposal of the level is a level D1 on fairgrounds.
And to me, I would consider a D1 to be a first-year director. Is this not kind of a step thing that each year you go up to the next step?
No. So you're looking at ranges. D1 is a range with a bottom and a top.
Correct. Okay, I see.
D1 is
No, I got you now.
Yeah, you were thinking of steps, and that's a range.
Yep. So it's not a step. I was seeing these as the steps, the grade. Gotcha.
Yeah, those are the group. Yeah.
Okay, I was not seeing this as the steps, so my apologies. So are they all on step one?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes?
We're supposed to be just addressing the ones that we wanted to hold over, that were recommended. We're not starting from scratch. Some have already been approved. And so if that interpretation is incorrect, then I'm not prepared for this because none of my liaisons are on this list. It's somebody from, and for good reason, right. I'm not saying that there isn't, but
this list
is not correct. It's reflecting what we've already, I mean, it is. It's not an error, it's just comprehensive, as opposed to saying that we're only going to be addressing, and I wanted to make sure that we were only addressing the ones we're supposed to be, which is airports, community corrections, fairgrounds, and I thought public works. Is that wrong?
Also,
maybe the room.
You also included public health and community development.
Great. That sounds cool.
So I didn't realize there was just a list. I didn't have that list, so I apologize.
Well, that's
I just
what
went
we
with
came out of
so
meeting.
2 weeks ago, I think it was whatever one it was.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
We made a provisional approval of my recommendations, with the exception of a handful of positions that said, let's hold off on these until the first of the year, and we'll look at these handful of positions.
Okay.
So this spreadsheet included everyone, but the ones the board still had questions about were those six directors.
Right. My concern is that there hasn't been a whole lot of progress that's been made outside to prepare. What I was hoping for was a recommendation from, and I guess I'm on that list too, but I don't have a recommendation for it to change at all, so that's mine, from you guys to say, this is where I want to be. And then I say, sure, that sounds good.
Well, I think when I talked to JJ, he said, let's get the step increases, the whole thing, done at one time, and then we will take the other ones if there's more increase to that beyond it. Is that what we were talking about?
So what I'm recommending is, here's the range. You also said we think that some directors have done a great job and should be rewarded for that. And there's the options of doing that is potentially a two-step increase or a bonus, depending on what you're doing. But what today is about is the ranges. What range should the directors be in?
So
yes.
We said yes, and we would ratify those potential changes, backdate them appropriately to the beginning of the year.
Yes.
So that's what we're talking about today.
Yes.
And so looking for those kind of... We don't have to rehash. We've already approved.
You're saying this has already been approved?
With the exception of those six positions.
With the exception of the six positions. Okay, I see.
So let's just go through the list and talk about the individual positions that we had. Right. There's six of them, and there's a reason why that people want to look at them. So airport. My recommendation was to move to D4. I think we chatted about that. I think we were in agreement D4 is appropriate as relates to what is a comparable analysis, and then your concern with rewarding his performance would be addressed through his next step increase.
Right.
So I think just enough talking. Airport is fine as recommended, unless the other two commissioners had an issue with it.
And then we would address any merit compensation would be done in the step process, right? Mm-hmm.
Well, nothing in the proposal tells us what step they're going to go on to.
Yeah.
Because the steps are irrelevant as it relates to this recommendation, because we're making recommendations on ranges.
Where were the airports before? Were they D what?
They weren't in the D scale.
They were
in NU 18,
step 7.
D4 is the equivalent of a 10% increase in their range.
This is confusing to me.
It's okay, Commissioner. This is confusing to me, and it's comparing. We're switching from one to the next, and then trying to accomplish too much. And really, we need to boil it down to incremental steps of what we can do. He's proposing ranges. Really, ranges are fine. What we also need to address is where that person is in the range, and that's a separate conversation. So I think
yes.
if we could
I
all
thought that's
agree,
the conversation we were having today.
But. Well, to a degree. We had agreed on, it's complicating it because we should have had, I would have loved, to just have the ones we're talking about today delineated out. Are those ranges appropriate? And are we going to adopt those? And frankly, I think the answer is yes. What I don't want to do is reward places based on a range increase, which doesn't automatically do that, to a person that I think isn't performing. And so how do we hold them and hold them where we need to do, even though we increase their range, and change some other performers where that didn't change them at all? All it did is give them more
growth, range, yeah.
But it didn't tomorrow say, thank you so much for the great job done.
See, that's why I'd rather do a bonus on somebody than a pay range change.
So my recommendations, again, my recommendations on ranges.
He's not changing his range on merit. That is a person. It's the comps.
This is a comp analysis, and the recommendations that I'm looking to get approved today are ranges based on comp analysis. As it relates to rewarding someone on performance,
that's
a separate issue. And there's really a couple different ways that we can do that, we've already talked about. But I think for today, if we could just focus on comp analysis, which range.
This is the chart mm-hmm. you want to go to.
Yes.
We are not saying where in this chart these will land.
So
you're approving the
ultimate.
Yes.
Initially, yes.
Yeah.
There is some concern. Is the range where we want it to be based on, because there's some wiggle room. So airport, are we okay with moving forward based on recommendations on the range, just the range? Because we had chatted about it based on what comp analysis said.
Right.
It's going to be really tough for us to provide an argument as to why the range that you're proposing isn't accurate or isn't what we want to do, because we don't have that information. The next conversation is really where we're going to be refining the fine points. So my answer is yes on all of those ranges that you've done the research on. I don't have the research to counteract whatever it is that you're saying. The only one that I think that we could talk about would be forestry, and that's an anomaly because mm-hmm. there isn't a comparable easily definable, that's just based on what we need to pay the guy to keep him here.
Yeah.
And that's the only one that I see that isn't.
Well, I would say that there's one other potential, and that is community corrections. So I'm recommending basically a 5% adjustment based on comp. That'll put him into this range. There is an argument to be made that community corrections in our agency looks quite a bit different than community corrections in some other agencies. So you look at the other than our comparable agencies.
Great.
The totality of the type of services that we offer look different than our comparable agencies. And based upon the fact that it's more pervasive, that being incongruent with our comps may not be the best decision. So we may want to look at, instead of being a 5%, we may want to recommend a 10%, because we think that the scope of what community correction does in this county is broader than what community correction does in other comparable counties. And in talking with Nate, that's his position.
In what regard?
So you look at some of our treatment programs, they're far more expansive than you see in other comparable counties. And I think that's the primary catalyst for why the state has authorized greater expense in the justice reinvestment.
What about like a staffing, supervision, management structure,
The quantity of staff that he supervises is larger than the quantity of staff that a lot of other comparable entities
supervise. That's what I'm talking about.
Supervise
his responsibility
as well.
Level is not the same as everybody else. Apples and apples.
He does have more staff than most of the comparable counties, and the scope of the type of services that we provide are broader. So just straight up, what's the community corrections director make in our comparable? That's what my study shows.
Right.
But with this specific position, I would say that
did we compare with other counties that were similar to scope and employee numbers?
It's hard to get that exactly because you have to really dig in. But if you look at comparable counties, what we do, both in their employee count and the type of services, ours, I would say, is more expansive. So I'm with this position, I have no problem saying, comps say that follow what I recommended, but I would have no problem with moving it up a range, and I think that would be appropriate.
I think where I lose it is the fact that we're going over here on the D1 through 10,
mm-hmm.
and over here it's all NU, so we're changing from the NU to the D.
It's a difference. It is confusing because it's...
Yeah, because I don't see, like, say, over here, that parks director, she's an NU 18, and it gives me a range, but where is she going to be on the D scale?
Parks...
Oh, I see. Clear at the end.
You D4. Have
clear on the end.
Yeah, D4.
D4. Okay, all right. Thank you.
So I guess
it's also closest to, not less than. So maybe that needs to enter into the conversation.
I mean, looking at, there's nothing that shows the NU. We had a range of NU 16 through NU 24,
mm-hmm.
and not a direct correlation to the new D levels. And so you have five people that were NU 18. And they didn't all end up at the same D level. And I think that would potentially put us in situation with our new state law about equal pay, equal access, because the two people that didn't get the same level are both female. And we're going to have an issue with that. That the three males that were NU 18...
Parks, that's not accurate.
But if they're NU 18 before we switch it, and they're not NU 18, or they're 2, 3 or D4, and 2 or D2 and D1... I think they would legally, in a court of law, win if they challenged it, because they said, we were at the same level here, the job description didn't change, and now we're at something different, and only the women had a lower level. In court, we will lose.
So, two things. That statement is not accurate,
right?
Because the parks manager went up 10% like the other two, and
she wasn't NU 18.
Yes, she was.
Not a...
Yes, she was.
Oh, sorry, I looked at the wrong line on that.
Secondarily, each of those are not the same position, and we have separate comp analysis for each of those four positions, and the recommendation was based exclusively on comp analysis.
There's five NU 18s, and they go anywhere from D2, D4.
I just want to make sure that we're actually where we need to be, though.
Commissioner Morgan, is that we don't make too broad assumptions that there's a faulty element without... This is complicated, and
Merit.
I understand a lot of complicated stuff pretty quickly. This is coming a little slower, so let's not be too rash in making those, especially statements of potential liability when we're in that kind of a situation right now. We don't need to compound the situation. That's actually irresponsible on our chief executive position to do so. So let's just breathe.
I've got three or four that we have talked about. And I think what I would be interested in a chart is I say, this is where I think that person needs to be on a money chart. This is where they are. This is where I think they need to be. How do you get them there? Or can you get them there, or can you not?
So first off, approve the recommendation for the ranges that he's recommending, with the corrections mm-hmm. going up to a 10% as opposed to a 5%.
So are you recommending a D9 instead? Or
I would recommend a D9. I think that would be appropriate.
And that's on?
Community Corrections Director.
Community Corrections.
Community Corrections.
So that's, instead of a D8 that's listed, he's recommending a D9.
Okay.
The other element is that we have a meeting this afternoon. 2 o'clock, we could certainly postpone this discussion, or the second half of it till that general discussion. So I'd say if we could break it up into achievable outcomes, we approve the ranges as recommended with the corrections change,
okay.
and then we further the what you'd like to do, and I think we all have stuff we'd like to do, address, so with performance issues. In this afternoon's, maybe work it out with JJ if we need to, time-wise. But what I'm hoping is that each liaison comes with a recommendation thought out, prepared to say, yes, this is where I want it to be. I don't want us making stuff up like that on the fly. We don't get to the best product. That's not my job. That's each of our jobs. So
you want us looking at airports, community corrections, fairgrounds, public health, public works. Was there another one?
Community development. Those were the ones that the board said, let's not approve the ranges a couple weeks ago. or whenever it was.
Cool. I'd like to look at veterans also, because they're zero.
And again, that was every That's single one of change. These. Every single one of these were based on a comp analysis, and
okay,
the range isn't going to change. So when you're looking at a zero, that's what we just. That's
I just
what we're
saying
doing.
That yeah. the comps for that position, the range is
the
current
range
is
the amount.
Okay. Yes,
got and the range is right for her
Take
where she's
yeah.
at.
You're right,
but don't justify it on a zero. Justify it on. Wait a second, she's been here. On everybody.
So
right.
her
program that can be adjusted in the steps.
Yeah. So if. What I think would be helpful, and I think maybe today is not the right day for a step adjustment, because I don't think that's enough time for you all to look at.
No.
So this is what I'll do. If we can approve the ranges, I will go to each individual commissioner with each of your liaison responsibilities
Great.
And say, here's where they are, range and step. What are your recommendations for if we think that either a bonus or a step increase is an appropriate way to address
yeah, we
performance?
We don't need to do that this afternoon. We'll do that.
I don't think that's enough time.
It is.
I
not
don't
really
think that's
fine.
Enough time for... Because all I'm worried about today is approving the ranges.
With the amendment, I recommend that approval too.
What you, I don't want to belabor the subject, but what you your issue with the zero is the fact
no,
that...
No, I get
no,
it.
No, I mean, I'm using it as an illustration. The fact that have we totally evaluated the fact that our program is basically doubled in size?
Yes.
From, okay.
Because what I...
That's
what,
a consideration.
When I did a comp analysis...
But if it falls still within this, within the steps...
Yeah, like a good example for veterans, when I did a comp analysis, I specifically excluded a couple comps because their programs don't look like her programs. They're basically one VSO and one supported staff, and that's not what she does. And so I excluded that as one of the data points.
What about where she's going to be? Because she just got $100,000 more.
I think that's hard to assess because so did a lot of other folks. So... What I was able to do was say, where are you within this budget cycle, really? And where are the comparables, you know? Because to say, where are we going to be? Well, we're going to be bigger, but maybe others will be bigger as well.
Yeah, they're all...
I think it's quite likely that her entire program will be looked at again within a year or two.
Okay.
Just
okay.
because the nature of the veterans expansion.
All right, good.
I go for that. Okay.
Okay.
So, a week?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Are you okay with approving this, Commissioner Hare?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I am too.
With the correction?
Sure. With the correction?
Yeah.
With that too.
It's not a correction.
Yeah. And what I will bring to the board...
It was a revised recommendation.
Yeah. What I will bring is the totality of the whole list. What exact step are they at now versus what step do you potentially think that you'd like
them
to be?
Where do we want them to be, we'll fill that in, and then we'll how can we get there, or can we get there?
And each individual commissioner can make a recommendation
yes,
if either
board.
No adjustment or an adjustment
okay,
based upon what you all would like to bring to the board.
That sounds okay. Week?
I think that's plenty of time. I can get everything you need by tomorrow, and that'll give you time to think about it and make a recommendation by the next week.
Does that fit with both commissioners?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Commissioner Morgan?
Sure.
Week is good enough for you?
We'll see if he gets around to us. We're gone on Monday.
Yeah.
So if we have time Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday sometime, let's hope we can get there. Looking at the calendar next week, I got a couple pockets of open space.
I've got to talk to Mr. Bobette as to when I'm going to go up north for a day. So.
Yep.
But I'll figure that out.
So Tuesday I have a couple pockets of time.
And if the board doesn't have enough time for each individual commissioner to have a recommendation, we can. That stepwise is less relevant to me than the ranges.
It is. Yeah.
If it takes you more than 25, 30 minutes to do this, you're not doing it right.
Right.
It's
yeah.
You're inefficient. This shouldn't take more than 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think we're okay. Well, let's see if there's something on Tuesday. Because like I said, I got to go north. You won't be here on Tuesday, though, will you?
In the afternoon, I'll be here for the legal meeting.
Yeah,
for sure.
Maybe is that an appropriate place to put it?
No. We'll do it one week from today on
yeah.
next
week
Thursday.
From today.
Makes sense, and I will have definitely made time.
Thursday.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Anything
okay.
else for JJ?
No, I think that's
perfect.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Oh, let's see. Okay, let's go to liaisons. Item 5C, liaison assignments and review.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
I had a couple things. Court security is on here twice, and I don't know that we really addressed where that goes specifically. I've attended one of those meetings, and I found it really beneficial. I'm not so sure that it isn't something that we could rotate through.
I've attended one of those meetings. You've attended one of those meetings.
I'm sure Commissioner Morgan has insights into that as well. So it's probably something that I don't know that we have to assign it to one specific. Well, let's do that, but have, much like any of these, the freedom to say, hey, I'd like to go
like
three.
The manager's meeting, we
yes
rotate.
Does that sound okay to you? Get your chance at the table?
Yeah, I was actually asked to attend this last one. I was doing something, but, you know, honestly, I didn't know if it's something that it had to stick with a sheriff's liaison. I assumed that's why you had it, because
that's,
it was a sheriff's liaison.
I think that's
liaison
why
thing.
I did have it, because they have a deputy up there. But I don't know if where that's...
No.
I'm okay with that. I don't know if you guys want somebody else to be the primary, or I'm fine with that.
I want to go every once in a while, so I don't care what it takes to
I don't
there.
Even know when they meet.
I don't either. I think so it's like every other month, I think. It's not very often.
We'll work when out they when meet, they meet. Know?
I'm the one of the three who's not attended a meeting, so I have no...
It's also on yours, Commissioner.
Yeah, it's on mine.
It doesn't matter who's it's under. I want to go every once in a while. Okay. Unless somebody's passionate about it. Obviously, there isn't anybody.
No, I don't see passion.
I'd see us putting that under something... like a manager's that we just rotate through. So I don't
is
know.
That okay? You want to be their liaison per se, but the liaison doesn't
honestly,
necessarily.
Honestly, it comes
have to
up go. More often from a facility standpoint about security issues. So I deal with it regularly and have for 7 years, I've never been court security liaison.
Okay.
So.
All right. Let's just leave.
If in the
we
future
just
you were going to stick it somewhere, you should stick it with facilities.
With the board.
You should stick it with facilities. Because that's what Ryan deals with, blocking doors and who's got behind this one and putting in that card lock system for the entire courthouse. One single access point. Those are facilities issues. So in the future, I'd recommend it going with the facilities liaison, but it doesn't have to right now.
Okay. Does that make sense, Commissioner Morgan?
Sure. I wasn't a part of it moving. So I honestly, my only thought is it goes with sheriff because they have a deputy in it. But at the same time, my biggest concern, it's our building. And I want to make sure that one of us is there
regardless. One of us needs to be there and then report back to the full board of any changes or any kind of ideas that get kicked around. It meets once a quarter, I'm told.
Okay.
So once a quarter, I think we can, if we have adequate notice as to when the meeting is going to be, we'll just pick who's going to go.
They know where it is right now. Commissioner Morgan hopefully can go try to go next.
Sure.
Makes perfect sense. All right. Regional Solutions was the other one that I wanted to talk about. Have you been to those?
I went to one. There's a conflict with our there's not a set schedule. And the next one is why we're at EOC.
Like
so,
Monday?
Yes.
So we should be discussing when there's a conflict of like who can go. If you're not going to Salem, you need to be there.
I think that's a great idea.
For me.
But it's not known in advance when they're going to be. They're not on a set.
We are noticed. We don't have a set schedule.
It's not actually this Monday. Let me see. It's not coming up on my calendar. Let me get it. See my email real quick.
For stuff like this, not everything. I'm not suggesting that we have somebody as a substitute go to the Parks Advisory meeting when we don't have somebody there.
I think
this
we should be
unacceptable that we're not at the table. So we have to find whoever's the liaison. You have to notify the board that I'm not available, blah, 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 got this. But also making Regional Solutions a priority. So it's got to be that kind of a deal. Like, no, I'm not going to go to this. I'm going to go to Regional Solutions because it's important that I'm at that seat.
Can we put a star on the ones we find important that somebody needs to be there? We just talked about court security. That's one. Regional Solutions is another one. Do you have anything else?
On Regional Solutions, the last one was AOC. I don't know when the next one is.
Yeah. But if we put a star by it, we'll know when that date comes in certain. We say, I can't make that. I've got a conflict. somebody needs to be at these meetings. We just don't
let it go.
Right, exactly.
It's gotta
so we're
going to
put
something.
A star by Regional Solutions as it have to be.
I don't really care who it is. They just have to show up, and they're going to have to deliver on this one because there's less money. And
well, do you want Regional Solutions as part of the Community Economic Development and just as they're linked?
It doesn't. It's not
absolutely important because there's, you know, Chamber of Commerce and Government Affairs, BR&E. That goes with community development. It's up. It's not.
I just think if we put regional solutions down with a star on it, that we will, that somebody from this, from the board will attend.
Frankly, both of those two things with community development. Chamber of Commerce, and I know how much you like to get up at 7.
Well, I've been to government affairs plenty. It's only when it's been a conflict with a different meeting. But it is for me. On Monday, we'll be at, their meeting is Monday the 8th, so I'll be in Salem. Mm-hmm. And next month, I'll be in Washington, D.C. when the meeting is. So I've already notified them. The board, we are not on the board. No. They invite us as needed to the board meetings. We're not expected to attend the board meetings.
I've been to one. I've been to one of the board meetings, and I used to do for the city. I used to do the
government affairs,
and it was, it, you know, Keith, I think, was from the county. Commissioner Heck was
correct, and he still goes.
And what is he going? What capacity is he going?
A citizen. It's their public meetings.
Okay.
No, they're not public meetings.
That's what the chamber said.
I don't know that he.
I had an extensive conversation with the chamber on Wednesday to clarify.
Who's and what and when.
Correct. And the only ones that we are...
Well, prior to Colleen, we used to go to the board meeting every month. But it's, you know, there's useful stuff that's talked about there. But if they don't want us there, it's fine. We're just there on invitation. But I think we do need to be at government affairs as long as it's productive. The BR&E ebbs and flows with being productive. I went for years, and it... Sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't.
Well, and on that one of their staff members, Sue, had told me, you don't need to be there. We'll let you know when you need to be there. And then I talked to Colleen. She goes, no, I want you there. So I started going. But it was...
The BR&E?
Yes, but I hadn't been going because their staff person told me, we don't need you there. And I'm like, all right, well, let me know when you do. And so Colleen's like, why don't you go to that meeting? All right, so I started going.
Now, one of the things, and Commissioner Hare, you made a statement, you know, I've been for all these years, and I just didn't see anything happening there. I've been part of that on the city side. I went to the Urban Area Tree Committee, and they were absolutely stagnant. And I thought, this is an absolute waste of time until we said, okay, what do you want to do? Where do you want to be? And, of course, all of a sudden they wanted a tree code, you know, and a canopy. And that gave them some direction. We actually got some things done over there. So, you know, I think a makeup of the committee really is going to set the pace for what it's going to do. And if the BR&E doesn't do anything, maybe Commissioner Morgan's the spark plug they need for business retention.
We'll see. I have been going since they said I need to be there.
Okay. Let's leave that where it is and chamber where it is. You will miss some meetings for the Chamber of Government because they're at 7 o'clock
correct.
On Monday.
Well, it's only when they move it off of the first Monday so that it's a conflict. Correct. But in February, they've moved it to the second Monday because it'll be February 12th, which is AOC Day, because they're not available on the first Monday. So both January and February 2018, the chamber has moved them because of a holiday and because of unavailability to the second Mondays.
So I think you're okay.
Which I'm at AOC, so I can't attend.
And you've noticed them that you're not going to be there.
Correct.
Okay.
So it's not because of not willingness. It's they've moved them to a date that is our AOC day. I think BCC staff, even though it says report to the full board, should go down to liaison chair.
Which one?
BCC staff. Since IT is there, I think BCC staff is, because somebody ultimately needs to be able to say, yeah, you can have time off, or if somebody needs to report something.
I don't have a problem with that. Is that okay with you, Commissioner?
That's the way it's always been. I wasn't advocating for it to change.
Anything else in here that we see?
And it can change over the year. It's not really that. It's not set in stone. I just think it's important that we don't make, we have to make an effort. And something that was said earlier in the week is that when you're acting in a liaison capacity, you are working for the board. You're an extension. If and without that, that if there's a priority by an individual board member and it isn't being satisfied by a liaison, that's not okay by the full board, not just that board member making those decisions. So, you know, at what point your workforce development thing is not working for you, that's fine. You don't have the discretion as a liaison to something like that as an individual commissioner to say, nope, not going to do it anymore. No, you got to come back to the board and say, hey, I don't want to do this anymore. It's not working. I don't think it's beneficial for the county. And then potentially, collectively, we come up with a solution that says...
the board makes that decision, yes, not individual.
We don't have the discretion to just say, nope, not going to do it anymore.
Well, I think what we need to do is caution, and I caution myself as much as anything else, is that we need to make sure that with this liaisons, comes a heck of an opportunity to become micromanagers. And I think we need to watch that very carefully. I was really bad about that over in the City of Grants Pass, and I apologize.
Your role was different at the City of Grants Pass.
Yes, it was.
Because you are also the manager.
Yes, I understand.
There you weren't. They had a city manager.
I also want to make sure that we are working with our department heads, because I think our department heads have got a very, very good staff here. And if we have an issue with a department, we bring it up as a suggestion and see what the response is from the department head back to us. The decisions need to be made at the board level. We need to act as one. I'll use a parenting thing. If the child comes to mom or dad selectively, you're going to get a whole different answer than if the child walks in and both of you set the tip, so yeah, what do you need? I think that's what we need on the board, is that the board needs to be brought into more rather than less. Does that make any sense?
I'd like examples of where, because we've been moving in the direction where the board used to oversee quite a lot. Mm-hmm. Now we've delegated over the last several years, and even by this board, the authority for a liaison and a manager to approve amendments to contracts, to do step increases and random things. You know, what are the things that you're looking for? Because you need to say specifically.
Well, unless we take all of the different things and say how many, well, IT. I think IT affects everybody in the whole building. So is that a board decision?
Sometimes it is.
Or
do
we have a liaison to IT?
Yes. It's been the chair.
Yeah.
It's been the chair.
What I would request is that you work on specifics of what examples of something that happened that you didn't like and you didn't know about, that we can tangibly use as a policy change. But to say you want to know, have more decision-making capability, the board ultimately makes all of the decisions. Mm-hmm. So you made the decision to let the liaison and the managers do certain things. If that's not working, then that's what I want. Talking about generalities, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what exactly you're looking for more input on. And when I look at my liaison lists of outside agencies, I provide pretty good updates on these on a regular basis. Okay. I haven't heard about what CASA is doing, 911. Some of these, and I'm not just trying to pick on, but those are things that I come to a general discussion or an administrative meeting, and if I were asked about some of these things, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. And, I mean, the Economic Development Committee, I came to you guys for finding that. That's what I want to see.
That's a tough one.
I want to see stuff bounced off. I'm having a trouble with this, and where is your perspective on that? Because otherwise, without a policy direction from the board, you don't have authority to say, well, this is what we've talked about, and this is where the board is at. You're just one commissioner. And I don't get a lot of some of these other things about where is the board on that. It takes practice. Understand that all boards are different. Some want to divest the board's authority and go to liaison. Others want it all board. You know, it will ebb and flow throughout your term.
A year ago, I asked for us to have a discussion. Now it kind of got sabotaged by somebody, but it was specifically that we had a discussion of what are liaison responsibilities. When is it the liaison has the say as the designee from the board as liaison versus the board has to make that call and the liaison's just the first person they run to.
I feel like we've had that conversation at least a half a dozen times.
Well, if I felt it was clearly defined based on what you just said, I disagree.
Well, that's great. You can have that prerogative.
It's not a prerogative of disagreeing. I'm saying I don't think it's clear. Because on one hand, you're saying the liaison has all the authority because they're the designee of the board.
Never said they have
And another, it's they don't have any, it's just for contract signing or this and that.
One at a time.
Don't be condescending.
One at a time.
I've said it, and it will be the same message. So, you have the authority granted by the board to convey a message, the policy of the board. Okay. That is it. Past that, you're just a liaison. You don't have the policy decision-making authority. So when you go to the public health thing and you say, well, we want something of a no fiscal impact to the county. No, that's not exactly what we've said. We want it reduced as much as possible. So you're interpreting or making up policy as opposed to conveying board policy. And
That's quite a bold statement to say that I made a policy when this board said this is what we don't want. We don't want the county to have any general fund obligation came out of this room.
Reduced the general fund obligation.
You know, it's fine for you to want to say whatever you want, but, you know, someday we'll be as perfect as you.
I think we just, communication seems to be a...
So one of the things I've asked is that we get a written schedule that we can see an annual list of who does quarterly updates. Why don't we have these other, why don't we get on that schedule of when we're giving our updates? So we can see this is when we attend our advisory meetings. Then we put us on the calendar for that topic, the next general discussion or admin meeting that we're going to give our update on that group. And so if we're just supposed to come back and give our updates on a time frame, let's link it to when we have our advisories and we can give our reports on that. But we have scheduled that some things have quarterly updates. We don't know what that quarterly update schedule is. It just pops up in the calendar when they happen. So you can't really plan ahead and see when they are. But maybe we work these things into that quarterly report as well. Some of the issues with the 911 board is their meeting was a direct conflict with our legal. They've actually changed it starting this month, that it's a time I can attend. I've attended every other meeting, that's their electronic version, but their physical ones are on Tuesdays at 2 o'clock when we have legal update. At 2 o'clock, I can't be there, and I've told
can't
them that. It finally took me going to Aaron Kubik and saying, will you help me with this because your staff runs the meetings? I can't attend at that time, and he asked them to change the time because me asking that didn't happen.
Yeah.
So it's now going to change, and it's going to be on the second Wednesdays at 9 o'clock. I'll be able to attend in person.
I'm going to have to go soon. This meeting with this agenda has taken 2.5 hours, and I'm not sure how much we've accomplished. I have a meeting at 12:30, and you were asking about liaisons and the defining the role and responsibilities of that. And now we got into schedules. And what I'm hearing are...
No, you mentioned that you don't know what's going on with some of these as liaisons.
I don't.
And so I suggest that maybe we put it on a calendar so we have a regular set time to give updates so that we know when it's expected.
I don't need that. I have a meeting and I provide an update.
Fine. So I recommend that with the recommended amendments that we approve this liaison list.
Okay. And those recommended, let's list those. BCC goes to this chair, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know why chair under the 4-H is all over here. Is there a specific chair under 4-H?
Yes, it's the board's chair.
Okay, so that needs to move over to the new chair.
4-H does?
I don't think that it's under me specifically. I think it's just the chair is... It might have always been there, but you can put it under Dan. Doesn't matter.
I just read it as it was a column thing. If it's not, I apologize. I'm just curious. So, and then court security, we put a star. Next to you, regional solutions, we put a star.
Yep. Are we working off of which draft are you looking at?
The 2018 approved draft.
world. You're looking at the approved draft, okay?
Correct. All right. I scribbled court security off of you. Put a star on it next to me.
Put a star next to you. Any other changes? Commissioner Hare?
Nope, looks good.
Commissioner Morgan?
Nope, as...
Okay. Yeah. And we will approve the 2018 approved with Regional Solutions and Court Security. If you have any other ones that you think we need to put a star by that somebody needs to attend?
I think emergency services, actually, I had that underlined, is really either a full board or it's the chair.
I don't mind emergency services staying underneath Lily Morgan by her performance during that fire.
And I disagree, too, because as liaison, I think that there's things that you can do towards planning and stuff, but the plan that goes into play when it's, you know, they'll still come through, but I think it doesn't have to be the chair. So
one thing that I would caution on it being the chair is going to change every year. This one person, if you keep it with, for instance, Commissioner Morgan for 4 years, she is going to continually be working with the same person all the time. The chair is going to change every year.
And the purpose of that is so that it doesn't become siloed.
Right.
The whole reason of it, bringing emergency management back under the board, is so that it isn't siloed in just the sheriff's office. So I'd caution against it. Been here a little while. I'd say it's a good thing that it rotates with the chair so everybody gets a handle on what it takes. If you're the only one left, the excuse that it's been Commissioner Morgan's or Hare's is not going to fly when you need to know what you need to know.
We're on call for every department every week anyhow. It's no different than anything else, except the plan says it delineates the chair.
The point person needs to be one person year after year after year so that the emergency management people that are in emergency management know who they're dealing with.
It's okay. So time will work it out.
Okay. So we'll leave emergency services with Commissioner Morgan.
So the only other thing that's on my paperwork in front of me is a tour that you were invited to on Friday. Do we need to talk about it for some reason?
A tour that I was invited to on Friday for?
It's probably in your email about the
Air Force.
Oh, yeah, the Air Force Academy. I just got that this morning.
Okay, I just didn't know if we're talking about it. Is that why we have copies?
I think that's a good point of discussion because it looks to me like there's a lot of people on that list. And it is basically our property. Are you both available?
No, I'm not available, and I've already done this. So okay. I would recommend liaison that you go.
I can go, absolutely. Commissioner Hare?
I've asked to have it publicly noticed so that if I'm available.
Okay, all right, let's just...
I have a dentist appointment, so I won't be there.
Yeah, let's just publicly notice it, and that way if both of us show up, we're already covered.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I just got that this morning. Thank you.
I don't know why I have it. It's not my email, so.
Okay. We got that. We just covered that. That was another matter for commissioners. Lay-on assignments is done. Any other matter for commissioners?
Well, Ron's got something. I'm not sure.
Just can I make an observation, a couple minutes, as a department head?
Can you come up? Yeah.
I think we're all kind of talking about the same thing. We're talking past each other, and I'll use the management partners as a perfect example of it. To your point that the liaisons and departments have become siloed to a degree, and that's a good thing a lot of times, but I think as department heads, what we struggle with is we brief our liaison, but then how much do the other two know, and where do we draw that line as to what else we brief them about? If you and I are talking about a small bore carpal project, I'm not going to fuss with you two. If it's a bigger thing like the JX, I say, hey, Dan, I got something. I'm going to hit these two up separately. I talked to Simon. I'm going to talk to you right after this about it. As department heads, I think at times we're not sure where that line starts and ends, and that's why this stuff becomes so siloed, which is great, other than when it becomes a big deal. And we come to these meetings, and then the three of you end up talking past each other to a degree through no fault of anyone's own. But, yeah, we've all kind of got a bit insulated, and so it's not knowing necessarily where that line crosses. And it's tough at times because everybody has a different comfort level as well. You had a different comfort level with me for years than Dan does, and that's fine. There's no right way. But then when we make assumptions about how much info does he need, it may not be enough or maybe way too much, and he's bored to tears. And we're all department heads, and I don't want to speak for her, but I think that's kind of the feeling, wrestling with what's that proper balance. And so at times you guys feel overwhelmed with how much we've given you, and at times you feel like you haven't gotten nearly enough. I don't know what the fix is, and I'm trying to do a better job of saying to you, hey, does this feel okay, Dan? I'm going to move on to talk to you two about it. I don't know how the other department heads are operating, but I think that feels to me like a piece that's kind of weakened over time because of that compartmentalization.
I think that's what I heard Commissioner DeYoung saying a little bit, is that it would be more helpful to have things come full before board instead of just the liaison. And we really look at what the role of liaison versus the full board is in the interaction with the departments. For instance, he has this project, and instead of individually making three appointments or coming by twice or three times to meet with us, it would be something that at a general discussion on a Tuesday came to all of us, and we talked about
it.
He just said a project.
The management partners. And that's the savvy that's required, is knowing what each of you need to hear individually and what is a group.
We all have questions about management, and you and I are about, we're going to have a conversation. I've just compiled what you and I need to talk about.
But I would also...
You mentioned both. You mentioned management partners and jurisdictional exchanges.
That was just a more recent example.
I don't need to know about a jurisdictional exchange until it gets really to a point that your liaison and you have worked out a proposed project or something. I think the management partners thing, that is a board-sanctioned project. We paid for that. That's not a liaison thing.
Right.
That's a full review of a program. We haven't done one of those. So, yeah, that's a full board. That seems obvious to me. And if I'm missing some sort of policy nexus on this, I'm sorry, but I don't see the problem.
I agree. And what we're getting, Rob and I are going to sit down as liaison. We're going to sit down in the next day or so, and we're going to, I have some stuff from last year. I've been watching for a year, learning from a year, and I have some stuff that I have concerns. I need to know what your answers are. But going back to JX, that just came across, what, yesterday, day before yesterday?
And the only reason I use that example is because that's a big enough piece that's moving that even if Dan's 100% in favor and you two are not in favor, I need to know that before we push too much further so we don't have...
We talked yesterday and said, well, let's wait until it gets a little bit closer, then we'll bring it to the board.
But that's exactly... This is a great example of where we've had previous conversations about JXs and what they need to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have policy direction. The board's in favor of it. For sure, when it makes fiscal sense, we want to do it. We want to get rid of roads that we shouldn't be in charge of. We've already talked about Lower River Road as being one of those easy places that makes perfect sense for the county to take on with the right number. And that's so there is policy direction to the liaison to work on it.
And that's where we're at. We're looking at the number right now and what it's going to
but
entail.
I don't think you need to come
and some
to me
other
and
things
ask
that
me
comes along.
Or not, we're in favor
but I think
of.
That when we come back to the full board with and when we say, okay, this is a number he and I think is going to work, and we go to the full board and they go, nope, got to be more than that. So then what do? Go back to square one? I don't know.
No, I don't.
Now, I think that's what you're asking for. At what point do
right.
you bring it to the board?
As a courtesy to, where does that argument happen? I don't know.
That it covers your costs. This isn't rocket science. I don't have any numbers that are going to say anything otherwise. That's the number. If you're not comfortable, then I'm not comfortable.
I have to get ready for another meeting.
Sure.
So.
Okay.
Just my two cents.
Two cents?
Well, yeah. And the management part is, I admittedly, a 10-page report and recommendation. I haven't heard a response from any of the three of you, so
exactly.
I'm kind of casting about in the wind
exactly.
here too.
That's
so
our fault.
That's okay. We'll get it there.
That's the things that I want to correct. I want that management partners to me is a very important document that we paid a lot of money for, and I think together we need to say, okay, what's the schedule? How's that working out? You have sent those things over, and how you respond to those different, and you've got to. Lined out
mm-hmm.
as to which ones you're working on. But I think we need to look at that more often rather than just once a quarter or whatever. That's an important document. After a while, that information that we got from that won't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to do it within a certain time frame and then go from there. There's some things on there I'm sure do not apply.
But, I thought we gave pretty clear direction after the report from managing partners about what our expectation was. Is it? Reviewing this on a regular basis
yes,
with progress on
exactly
short and mid and long term things. So I remember that meeting very clearly that there was pretty clear direction and I didn't need to give anything more until we had a follow up and a series of follow ups mm-hmm. on the short and long term. Getting a fleet manager in here was one of those elements to implementing some of those things. So I'm pretty comfortable with where the board was at when we handed it, I feel, back in this. How are we addressing each of these 64 issues?
But he sent over a report and got no response. So he's saying it didn't go anywhere. We should have had a response.
And that's okay, because we're doing those things. It's a matter of more of, if there was feedback,
I wasn't at that meeting, if I'm correct. I believe you guys had that.
Well, I gave all three of you the copy of the report and recommendation. I said, here's what we're doing. Here's the priority ones. The priority twos and threes are going to be coming in the next month. And say, here's where we're moving on these. And if you didn't like quarterly updates beyond that, say, here's what we've done on each of those matrix. We can certainly go through all 63.
And there's, and like I said, there's fault on our end of it too, and we want to correct that.
That's okay.
As a board,
yeah, we'll get there. So,
okay.
Anyway, just I don't want to editorialize, but that's just trying to give you a bit of the flavor that I feel in the monthly department.
And I guess I'm in a different position where I actually want to know more what's going on with other departments, because we are a board of the whole county, not just what we're liaison to. So more and more as these things come up, maybe you don't need to hear them, but maybe we do want to hear them as we get more familiar about what's going on.
Of course, somebody who's been here for 6 or 7 years just kind of knows that answer reflexively. Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah, there's no
answer. It may be just because of different things, you know.
Commissioner Hare has been here through both ends of the spectrum at every point in between. Mm-hmm. He knows what works, he knows what doesn't work, but he doesn't know what my expectations are or your expectation.
What I'm trying to help you guys do is to quantify that in some measurable sense. If you have questions about something, you should ask about it.
Yeah.
I've just asked that. I have not gotten outside agency reports on hardly anything. And there is no excuse of not attending because of a conflict. I don't want an excuse. I want a report.
There are excuses, and never mind.
We're all busy.
Yeah.
We're all busy, and we all don't make all the meetings, so let's just start with that. Okay? So, are we all set?
I think so.
Yep. Okay, meeting adjourned at 11:45. Thank you.
All I hear is excuses.
We're meeting 45 minutes ago. Do you want to do it still? I got no rush.